was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, and we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. Oh, yeah. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. There's, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Is this the last State of the Union we have to hear from the ADD junkie, incompetent boy George? Is this the last one? Are we there yet? We have one more. We have one more left to go. Are we there yet? Oh, oh. And you know what? It is. I don't know. I guess it's some measure of comfort, but not entirely. A measure of comfort to know that most think that boy George is seriously not up to the task. 33% of Americans, 30, let me reverse it. Almost 70% of Americans believe that this country is on the wrong track. 70% of them, almost 70% of Americans do not want boy George making all of the decisions. They want Congress to make the decision. What would make them think that? Oh, yeah. They don't think that he's making decisions on our behalf, but on his friends' behalf. Most believe the country's on a wrong track. Only 44% think that boy George is honest. 2 years ago, that was 53%. One 877-920-WGNU. 66% think that the country is on the wrong track. Oh yeah. And you want to know how the tide has changed? How it's clear that we're right. Been right. You want to know what the evidence is that we've been right? I'm gonna share that with you when we get back. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Innocent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the Conspiracy Hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
The Repertory Theater of St. Louis presents its 5th annual Food and Wine Experience on Saturday from 11 to 6 and Sunday from noon to 5. This event presented by Schnucks includes 2 full days of freshly prepared foods and over 400 wine samples from the world's premier growing regions. Proceeds benefit the educational outreach programs of the theater. Tickets are on sale now through the Rep Box office at 314-968-4925 at all area Schnucks locations or online at repstl.org. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
For everyone who ever marched to the beat of a different drummer, the smash hit returns. Stomp.
Oh, it was totally creative. The imagination, the spirit of the people was just wonderful.
Excellent. Third time I've seen it, gets better every time.
The second time I've seen it, it was fantastic.
Stomp is the best show I've ever seen in my entire life.
In New York, they called it a surefire crowd pleaser with a rock and roll heart. In London, they called it pure fun.
It was great. This is the second time that I've been to the show, and I had to bring my friends because it was so much fun.
I was dancing in the eyes. I don't know how anybody could sit there with so much rhythm going.
Stomp is totally a gift to the planet. It changed my whole aura. I'm not the same.
It's pure entertainment with more bang for the buck than any show in memory. See what all the noise is about. Stomp.
Coming to the Fox Theater, February 16th to the 18th. Tickets on sale now at MetroTix or online at MetroTix.com. Presented by Dan St. Louis.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Everything will be all right. He assures her, but she doesn't hear a word that he says. Preoccupied.
Whatever happens, baby, don't let go of my hand. Please don't let go of my hand. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Oh, there are going to be some changes are coming. There are going to be some changes are coming. I just need you all to fasten your seatbelts. We got some really fun things that are getting ready, fixing to happen. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. This is going to be another day of riveting radio here. At 7 o'clock, we're going to be talking about the digital divide, digital destiny, actually. Jeff Chester, author of the book, A Digital Destiny, The New Media and the Future of Democracy. He maintains that Rupert Murdoch bought MySpace to make it an advertising delivery system. Google bought YouTube to make it an advertising delivery system. They're trying to control what we see on the net. We're going to be talking about that with Jeff Chester in the 7 o'clock hour. And let me back it up a little bit. In the 9 o'clock hour, the Iraq War. P.J. Crowley is going to be talking to us. Who is P.J. Crowley? He was a special assistant to Bill Clinton for the National Security Affairs. He's a senior director of the public affairs for the National Security Council. He was also the principal deputy assistant to the Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs. He has been a spokesperson for the United States at the Pentagon and at the White House. And so he's going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour to talk about the Iraq War and what he anticipates that Bush is going to say and what he believes that Bush should be saying tonight in his State of the Union and in 8 o'clock to round it all off. Yesterday there was a press conference held in the press at the National Press Conference. And an amazing coming together took place. Businesses and environmentalists joined together and said, you know what, we need national, strong national legislation to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Huh? Businesses came together? Oh, yeah. A diverse group of U.S.-based businesses and environmental groups said, you know what, we need to do something about this. There was a press conference held yesterday. We're going to be talking to the Alliance, the U.S. Climate Action Partnership. We're talking about Duke Energy, DuPont, BP America, Caterpillar, General Electric. Huh? They're trying to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions? Oh, Lord, we're going to have a good conversation at 8 o'clock this morning. It is Riveting Radio. You need to be here. My name is Liz Brown. And speaking of riveting, if you... Let me see. I'm going to take this line from my friends in the advertising business, in the advertising industry. No, in the movie industry. Let me be clear. In the movie industry, movies who I love. I saw Babel this weekend, and oh my goodness. But I digress. My friends in the movie industry, what do they say? If you only see one film this year, see blah, 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 blah. Well, let me speak to you, all of you out there who have your finger on the pulse, who care about the children, who care about education, who care about the city that you live in, who care about the state that you live in, who care about the country that you live in. If you only attend one meeting, one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. If you only attend one public meeting this year, this is the one that you attend. I got an email late yesterday evening. I understand why it was late yesterday evening. Amen. DESE is coming down to St. Louis. They want to hear from you about the state takeover. Again, if you only attend one public forum, one public meeting this year, this is the one that you attend. Tuesday, they're giving us a week notice. We got to fill the joint up from 6 to 9 at Harris Stowe University in the main auditorium. That's 3026 Laclede Avenue. You will be able to speak. All you got to do is come down and sign up. You need to let them know that you are in opposition to this crazy power grab and this crazy act against democracy of taking away your elected officials and your vote. This nullification of your voting rights. You know what? If you only attend one public meeting this year, attend the one a week from today from 6 to 9 at Harris Stowe. DESE will be there. Dr. Bert Schulte, the Deputy Commissioner of Education. Dr. Robert Taylor, DESE's representative in the St. Louis area. If you only attend one meeting, one public meeting this year, this is the one that you attend. You need to fill the joint up. I'm telling you, this is the one. Everybody needs to be there to sign up to speak. From 6 to 9 at Harris Stowe University in the main auditorium of the administration building at 3026 Laclede Avenue. I'm going to be talking about that more, but pass it on, folks. Pass it on. Bring your children. Have your children sign up to speak. If you only attend one public meeting this year, this is the one that you attend. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Most Americans think that the country's on the wrong track. Most Americans think that the country is on the wrong track. Why would they think that? Could it be because bombs killed 100 people in Iraq yesterday? Let's just resonate on that for 1 second, if you don't mind. Bombs killed 100 people yesterday. 100 people died yesterday in one bomb. In one bomb. 100 people and wounding scores and scores of others. Oh, by the way, two more Marines died. In 2 days, 27 of our troops died. 27. 27 of our babies died yesterday. Well, there's somebody's baby died yesterday. 27 in 2 days. 27 of somebody's babies died in 2 days. There was a parked car that had probably 220 pounds of explosives in it. One of the suicide bombing, baby. It got a whole lot of people, 100 people died. And I cannot help believe that some of us were in that bomb. I don't care what they tell me. I don't care. 156 were wounded. Another bomber killed 63 people a month ago in the same place. And a mortar shot in a Shiite town of Kailas, 50 miles north of Baghdad, 12 people were killed, 29 were wounded. This is the single deadliest attack against civilians in Iraq since November 23rd. A teacher was killed on her way to work at a girls' school. Two mortar shells landed on a primary school in the Sunni neighborhood of Dora. Two U.S. Marines were killed Sunday. This is why Americans don't want to hear nothing from Boy George. And you want to know how the tide is changing? You want to know the evidence of the tide changing? You want to know the proof of it? Huh. The proof of it is this. Boy George is going to talk about education tonight, huh, sweetie? And Boy George is going to talk about health care tonight, huh? Since when have you used the State of the Union address to talk about any of the issues that matter to us? Since when are you not banging the drum going to tell us about, banging the drum want to tell us about the axis of evil? What's the matter? Iraq got your tongue? Huh? Oh, yeah, you want to talk about anything but... anything but Iraq, I bet you do. Yeah. Iraq got your tongue. My name is Liz Brown. Oh, yeah, we have much to talk about. Oh, yeah. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79 is slow as well. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. There's a stall's been removed on the western end of the bridge, but there will be some delays as a cause of that. Northbound 270 from 44 through Big Bend. Look for slow traffic. There's a water main break at Brentwood South, just underneath the 64 overpass. Only the center lane is open. That's on Brentwood Southbound, just underneath the 64 overpass, or over the 64 overpass. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant. Look for traffic building. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is looking good into the landing at this hour. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight is starting to build. And northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 255, 270. Look for some delays. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly cloudy skies, high in the lower 40s. For this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Wednesday, partly cloudy, high in the upper 30s. Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 30s as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 31 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 30. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 22. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown, It's time for open lines for Riveting Radio. Get on board. We'll have another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Karen Stewart. I'm sure you've asked yourself these questions before. What are the secrets to creating wealth? What are the four obstacles to building wealth? How do I build my financial house? How do I reduce my current year taxes? How do I best protect my assets? Get the answers to these questions and more on Strategies for Building Wealth every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on WGNU, where we teach you how to work your money smarter, not harder.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in just a little touch of stock market news. And if that food price goes too far,
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up, you need to get up, you need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Miss Brown, the truth will set you free.
Indeed.
Miss Brown, I just had to ask you, did you see Hillary Clinton on Charles Gibson last night with Charles Gibson?
What time would that have been?
That would have been 5:30.
No, I did not.
Well, Miss Brown, you missed a good one. She sat there and told Charles Gibson, he asked her, he said, well, do you think Obama is qualified to be the president? And she evaded the question, Ms. Brown. She said, oh, we're going to have a very, it's going to be all interesting, all these candidates in there. She evaded that question.
She didn't answer the question?
She wouldn't even answer the question, Ms. Brown. Then she told him that she always had planned to make her announcement for running for president before the State of the Union address.
That's not true. You know that's not true. But you know that's not true. It was on a Saturday?
The State of the Union to give the people a chance to make their decision.
On a Saturday?
She said she always had planned to make her announcement before the State of the Union address, Ms. Brown.
On a Saturday? You released it?
You think I'm lying? Go get Charles Gibson's interview with her.
I believe you. I'm just saying.
Ms. Brown, this woman is total. I mean, I have no. There's no excitement when she made this stop, Ms. Brown. I'm not interested in Hillary, Ms. Brown. And Ms. Brown, in my mind, refreshing my mind. Didn't Hillary vote for the Iraq War, Ms. Brown?
Yes, she did.
She ain't saying yes, but she ain't making no excuse. Now, if I'm correct, also, Ms. Brown, Obama said no to the Iraq War.
Yeah, but he said yes to the bankruptcy and yes to the energy stuff. There's still some troubling
votes. Brown, you're not kidding.
Okay.
Her nomination does not excite me one bit. She duped the people in New York. You know that, Ms. Brown, when she said she's going to run for the... She said she's in the wind.
No. She said... No. She said that she would serve her first year and she would not run for the presidency. So she served her 6 years.
Oh, she served her 6 years.
She served her 6 years. So
well,
she...
Ms. Brown, she needs to stay in New York because this nomination does not... She doesn't deserve the nomination, Ms. Brown.
The thing about it is, you know, and deserve is an interesting word. I think another word that we could use also is that she can't win and would she be a good president? I am very concerned about her political calculation and the distinction that, because every politician makes political political calculations.
Mm-hmm.
But her political calculations, I'm impressed with the politician that's able to politically calculate and get something done for us.
Right.
Her political calculations are all about getting something done for herself.
That's right. You tell the truth.
You know, I mean, she has politically calculated when she voted for that I'm against flag burning. What did that have to do with us? That had to do with her trying to get elected. You know, she stood next to Newt Gingrich. What's that got to do with her, us, or her getting elected? She is taking money from Rupert Murdoch, who had his foot all the way up her husband's stuff. So what did that have to do with? Did it have to do with supporting somebody that is been good for this country, or getting money for her campaign and getting Rupert Murdoch off her back? That's not good for us. That's good for her.
Ms. Brown, you told the truth, because I feel this way. She gave Bush everything he wanted. She gave him everything she wanted. Now she wants to be the president, Ms. Brown. Come on, Ms. Brown. We can find better candidates than this.
Well, you know, I should be having Edwards on my show pretty soon, because he's running for the presidency as well. I really want to talk to him, because I'm looking at him. Obama has a whole lot of stuff that he's got to come out.
Well, no,
I don't think he has any baggage. I think that he hasn't taken the stances, because he's also doing the political calculation of how do I get black folks and white folks to vote for me. So his political calculation is the same thing. The question again, does their political math add up to us, or does it add up to them?
And then they took a survey, Ms. Brown. They said that Hillary will get more black votes than Obama. The more black people will vote for Hillary than will vote for Obama. She got the black votes tied up.
I think that you can take all the surveys that you want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that's going to be so.
I don't think so.
I don't think that that's going to be so at all.
Ms. Brown, I'm looking for your interview with Edwards, because I am not excited for Hillary. Hillary needs to stay in New York, Ms. Brown. Ms. Brown, you have a nice day.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. Does their political calculation add up to us, or does it add up to them? Isn't that the question? I understand Barack Obama saying, you know, I want to be able to speak to all people and get all issues, but the reality is that that's not how you get things done. You deal with the issues as they are here. Poverty weighs heavily on one group of people. Discrimination weighs exclusively on one type of person. The overwhelming majority of it. So you can't all of a sudden say that we're equal when the problems don't lie on us equally. Don't land on us equally. And you can't run away from the problem by saying it's all fair. All you got to do is just work hard. No. Mm-mm. No, there's far more to living here in this country than that. Than working hard. Because if that were the case, African people would have no problem at all. It's just about working hard. 1-877-920-WGNU. Oh, stay with me for Riveting Radio this morning. At 9 o'clock, we have P.J. Crowley, the Senior Fellow, Director of National Defense and Homeland Security at the Center for American Progress. He was a Special Assistant to Bill Clinton for National Security Affairs. He was a Senior Director of Public Affairs for the National Security Council. He's going to be talking to us about what Bush is not going to be saying about Iraq and what he should be saying about Iraq in his speech tonight. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have Daniel Leshoff. A bunch of folks got together. We're talking about Alcoa. We're talking about Union Electric. We're talking about folks and also environmentalists. They held a press conference yesterday at the press club. Duke Energy, DuPont, FPL Group, all got together asking for swift action on global climate change. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear about that in the news? Well, we're going to talk to the people that made the news yesterday, right here on the wake-up call at 8 o'clock. And then today, at 7 o'clock, just a few minutes here, Jeff Chester is going to join us. He's the executive director for the Center for Digital Democracy. And he's also the author of the book, Digital Destiny, The New Media and the Future of Democracy. He talks about Rupert Murdoch buying MySpace. Why? He wants to advertise there. Google bought YouTube. Why? Because they want to advertise there. What's happening to our Internet? Are the industry giants trying to create a commercial culture? We're going to talk about that with Jeff Chester today at 7 o'clock. It's riveting radio. And we have much business to attend to. And again, folks, if you only attend one public forum, one public meeting, one public outing this year, make sure it's this one. DESE is coming to town. Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education is coming to town. Why? Because they want to hear from you about how you feel about the takeover, the state trying to take over our school district. Tuesday. They've only given us a week notice, folks. A week notice. A week from today, from 6 to 9 at Harris Stowe in the main auditorium, DESE is coming to town. They want to hear from you. Everybody gets to speak. You just need to register when you arrive and limit your remarks to 3 minutes. Well, good luck with that, DESE. Good luck with that. This joint should be packed to the max. Do you hear me? Packed to the max. On Tuesday, a week from today, 6 to 9, if you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. Say no. You cannot take our school district. You cannot nullify my vote. You cannot take this away. Be there. DESE, public meeting next week, 2 o'clock. On Tuesday from 6 to 9 at Harris Stowe. The meeting will be conducted by Bert Schulte, Deputy Commissioner of Education, and Robert Taylor, DESE's representative. Everybody needs to be there. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. Oh, yeah, we have business to tend to. Let's get it done. Stay with me.
Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Being healthy is a matter of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. The Foundation for Chiropractic Progress is a nonprofit organization that has introduced an online calendar filled with simple, fun, and enjoyable activities to help you make 2007 a healthier year. Visit foundation4cp.com to download the calendar or call 866-901-3427. That's 866-901-3427. Something for your health from WGNU.
Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen has it in time Tuesdays from 10 until noon right here on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Run always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one's mother's light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up. Get to me, and if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. revolution@lizbrown.com. We have so much business to tend to, so much business to tend to. Let me ask you this. Scooter, you know who I'm talking about, Scooter Libby, the Scootster, is on trial. There's an African judge that is presiding over the trial, Reggie Walton. And what is interesting is that the venue, what is that word? That means the place where the case is being tried. The venue is Washington, D.C. How many black folks live in Washington, D.C.? Oh, pretty much. Almost 80% of the city, black folks, right? Democrats outnumber Republicans by 9-1. So tell me how it is that we ended up with a jury panel with only two black people on it. And understand this, two black people, no black men. No, two African women, no African men. And they sure don't have any problem finding people to stop. And what was fascinating is during the jury selection, nearly every African person had a story of being stopped by the police, wrongly stopped by the police in Washington, D.C. Nearly every African person. Now, you know, a lot of you know out there or would make the argument if you had the courage to call and confront me that, you know, you have to strike jurors. You know, you end up with, you know, the prosecution and the defense have the right to. You are a defense attorney. You have, you know that you're going to be able to strike some of these juries. But understand this. Consider the white men that ended up on the jury panel. One white guy who worked for Bob Woodward and lives across the street from Tim Russert and is a journalist. When Tim Russert and Bob Woodward are going to be witnesses in this case, that white guy ended up on the jury. Huh? Huh? That white guy ended up on the jury. A white guy who worked for Bob Woodward, lives across the street from Tim Russert, and is a journalist in a case that involves the credibility of who knew what when from journalists. He ends up on the trial, on the case, on the jury. These are amazing times. These are amazing times. There's a white guy who works for MoveOn.org, moving George Bush out of office. Or who did work for MoveOn.org. He ends up on the jury. Now, this is a case about the credibility of Dick Cheney, who shoots his friends in the face and the heart. This administration, the Iraq War, everything. So a white guy who worked on behalf of MoveOn.org, he ends up on the jury panel, but no black men end up on the jury panel. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? One 920 WGNU. One juror was asked five or six different ways by the judge and the prosecutor and the defense team whether he could set aside his personal political views. Personal political views. In 3 days, 30 potential jurors were qualified and 19 were sent home. Opening arguments are taking place today. This is a political trial, and it turns out in a city that is overwhelmingly African, that only two African, and every other trial in this courthouse looks like the city. Plenty of African people that sit on the juries. This one, they didn't make it. I guess this is just another commentary on the policies and the practices of this administration. When given the opportunity to craft any environment in which they exist, of course the prosecution, I mean, of course the defense of a Scooter Libby, who was the right-hand man, did I say right-hand or did I say henchman? I'm sorry. Right-hand man to Dick Cheney, would attempt to create an environment that they are most familiar with, most comfortable with, and most insistent upon. 90% white. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? So ask me about what I have coming in an administration like this. What you got coming? 1-877-920-WGNU-454-0400 is the phone number. You want to email me, or you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. Oh, yeah, you need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. And I'm going to say it again. If you attend only one meeting this year, one public meeting this year, please come out a week from today from 6 to 9 at Harris Stowe State University. DESE, the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, wants to hear from you about how you feel about the state takeover of the St. Louis Public Schools, how you feel about your district, and the nullification of your votes. You need to be at this public hearing next week, a week from today, from 6 to 9, and it's going to be at Harris Stowe in the main auditorium of the administration building, 3026 Laclede. And the meeting will be conducted by Bert Schulte, Deputy Commissioner of Education, and Robert Taylor, DESE's representative in St. Louis. Everybody will be allowed to speak. You need to get there and sign up. And they also will accept written comments. So here's the thing. If you don't want to speak, type it up, write it up, hand it to them. They should be flooded with all kinds of commentary. If you don't want to speak, then write it up and hand it in to them. In fact, here is something for all of you teachers out there. All of you teachers out there, have your children, have the children in your classroom, write a letter to DESE and tell them why they like school better now than they did when Roberti was here. Have your kids write a letter to why the state should not take over the district. have your kids write letters and hand them to Desi's hand, boxes and boxes and boxes of letters from kids about why they don't want a state takeover. That's the assignment from high school kids to preschool kids. Bring boxes and boxes and boxes of letters from kids. Every teacher out there needs to be contacting parents. Parents need to be writing it or saying it. We need to blow this thing out. Let us be clear that nobody wants a state takeover of the school district. Except that what people say, that crazy lady that's on the board. That crazy lady. 1-877-920-WGNU. That is the number, 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget that in the next hour we're going to be talking about the digital democracy. Do we have digital democracy? How do we make certain that we have digital democracy? Rupert Murdoch has bought up MySpace. Google bought up YouTube and all the good stuff left YouTube. Do we have digital democracy? We're going to be talking to Jeff Chester next hour to have that conversation. You're on the wake-up call, Kathy.
Yeah, I didn't hear. Liz, I'm sorry. I just turned you on. I wanted to know what's the discussion about the school. What's that crazy Veronica doing now?
No, this isn't about a conversation about Veronica. This is about a meeting that Desi will have a week from today,
okay.
6 to 9 at Harrisdale University, about wanting comments from the St. Louis city residents about this attempted coup of our district.
Okay.
So from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 Laclede, that's on Tuesday. Everybody needs to be there.
This coming Tuesday.
Not today, a week from today.
Okay,
6 to 9 at Harrisdale.
Okay, take care.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It's a yearly tradition, but there will be some firsts in tonight's State of the Union address, which President Bush delivers to the nation and to a joint meeting of Congress. ABC's Ann Compton has a preview from the White House.
Look for some big differences tonight.
Madam Speaker, the President of the United States.
Sergeant-at-Arms Bill Livengood has been practicing for the first woman running the House. And when President Bush enters the chamber at 9 Eastern time, he's bringing a State of the Union address focused on just a few domestic initiatives. The heaviest lifting will be his request to give time to the troop surge in Iraq. Both the House and Senate are debating resolutions against more deployments. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Iraq will likely be a focus of tonight's address. Troops at Camp Victory, Baghdad, will be watching, including Captain Jason Sala.
I hold a positive attitude, no matter what. I hope they're able to succeed.
Two more U.S. service members, meanwhile, have been killed in Iraq, a Marine and a soldier. Starting today, you'll need a passport if you're going to travel to any foreign country. Yes, that includes Canada and Mexico. And that's just fine with this travel.
I like the security. I travel a lot, and I feel more comfortable knowing that there's someone out there checking.
The State Department expects to issue a record 16 million passports this year to meet the increased demand. Dreamgirls is among the movies that could get several Oscar nominations. The announcement is in about a half an hour from now. Box office watcher Paul DeGarabedian.
If these films get a number of nominations, suddenly they may move up the box office chart every weekend until the Oscars, so it can be a boost.
You can't necessarily say that about a Golden Raspberry, which recognizes, if you will, the worst in film. Here are the nominees for Worst Picture.
Basic Instinct 2, Blood Rain, Little Man, Lady in the Water, and Wicker Man, which is a pretty broad range of incompetence that we've covered this time, I think.
This is ABC News.
Feels like I get this same cold every year. So I got the same nighttime medicine I always get. But I was congested all night, so it wasn't the same.
Many cold medicines have changed. NyQuil Cold Flu Relief no longer has a decongestant. New Tylenol Cold Nighttime does. It helps relieve more of your worst cold symptoms. And it helps you sleep. It's one more step towards a pain-free world. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Cold. Take only as directed.
Looking for great tire deals? Stop by your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Buy four Michelin or VF Goodrich tires and get the Works Fuel Saver package on us. That's a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, and more. Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. Only at your dealership. We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
Keith Urban is done with a stay at the Betty Ford Center, and the country singer is more than ready to discuss why he checked in. Here's ABC's David Blaustein.
Country star Keith Urban, husband of Oscar winner Nicole Kidman, is thanking his fans for their support while he was in rehab.
I felt very, very loved, and I felt very supported, and it made the time go by. I never felt alone.
In a video message on his website, Urban openly discussed his decision to sober up.
It feels really good to have gone through it and be where I am right now. Because where I am right now is starting on that road to getting back to doing what I love, which is playing music.
Urban was in the Betty Ford Clinic for 3 months. David Blaustein, ABC News.
Well, if she wants to, she can still work for world peace. But from now on, Miss America will focus on an official pet cause, helping the children's hospitals of the country. Pageant's teaming up with the Children's Miracle Network. Miss America 2007 will be crowned on January 29th in, no, not Atlantic City, Las Vegas. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brian-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a recent interview with accused kidnapper Michael Devlin has sparked controversy. Susanna Callahan is a senior at Washington University and former reporter for the campus newspaper. She also freelances for the New York Post, but reportedly told Devlin that the story was for the college paper. Local authorities say Callahan lied to get into the jail for the interview, claiming she was a friend of Devlin's. Devlin's lawyers have filed several motions, including a gag order against Callahan to keep her from talking about the interview. The Highway 40 project starts next month. It will begin with house demolition around the intersection of I-170 and I-64. The first phase of the project will lead to the rebuilding of the interchange where the two highways meet. A spokesperson for the construction company says that the first phase of the project should not impact commuter traffic. Finally this hour, a Metro East Boy Scout Council was looking for financial help. The Edwardsville Area Trails West Council had considered selling one of its two campgrounds, but that potential decision was met with opposition from camp alumni. The council was planning on a major capital campaign in the coming months, asking the community for the financial support it needs. Council President Max Eakin says that they have enough money to run programs, but not enough to fix up its campgrounds the way he believes they should be. This WGNU News report is sponsored by Candy Bouquet at 620 North Skinker. For a bear hug this Valentine's Day, send the Teddy Bear Valentine gift basket from Candy Bouquet. Call 314-863-CANDY or visit candybouquet.com for a location near you. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for delays. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight, you've got delays there as well. Westbound Kingbridge is rolling fine into the landing this hour. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street under the Poplar Street Bridge looks good. Westbound 270 from Old Hawks Ferry, the West Florissant is on the move. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason looks good. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Big Bend is on the move. Westbound 5570 from the 64 split into the Poplar Street Bridge, look for no delays. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270 is on the move. And westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue into the 5570 split, you can expect some delays there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy day, high in the lower 40s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 20s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s as well. Currently, we have 30 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 30 as well. Cloudy conditions. Windchill makes it feel like it's 23. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight, I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
Common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal.
many are denied inclusivity.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. Oh, yeah, you need to get to me. We have much business to talk about. It seems appropriate on the eve of... And let's just keep our fingers crossed. We're almost there. Are we there yet? We're almost there. Our second to the last State of the Union address from Boy George. But it seems appropriate that since most of us will be watching it on some form of electronic communication. Listening to it, watching it, reviewing it, talking about it. It seems important to talk about something that it is very doubtful that he will be talking about tonight. We need to talk about the media, and we need to talk about it from a digital media perspective. We need to talk about it from the perspective of who controls it, who should control it, how should it be controlled, what are the components to the digital media marketplace that we should be aware of and helping to shape. Because believe it or not, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, men and women of the jury, there is an opportunity here, given the newness, of the medium. We have an opportunity to shape it. Let's talk about this, and we're going to have that conversation when we get back, when our guest, the author of Digital Destiny, Jeff Chester, joins us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Direct from Broadway. Direct from Broadway, the winner of 6 2005 Tony Awards, The Light in the Piazza is the romantic new musical that transports you to 1950s Florence, Italy. You can almost feel the warmth of the Tuscan sun. As if by fate, a sudden gust of wind blows the hat from a beautiful young American woman into the grasp of a handsome young Italian. And so it begins. Broadway's ultimate love story, filled with passion, tenderness, and romance. The Light in the Piazza. The critics have hailed it a must-see with the most romantic score of any Broadway musical since West Side Story. Don't miss The Light in the Piazza, coming to the Fox Theater for 2 weeks only, January 30th through February 11th in the U.S. Bank Broadway series and sponsored by American Airlines. For tickets, call 314-534-1111 or order online at metrotix.com. It won the critics. It won the Tonys. Now, let it win your heart.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your health care needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I'm invisible.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is Jeff Chester. He is the author of Digital Destiny, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Very good. Well, talk to us. One of the things that you have written is that the distinctions between broadcast and cable TV channels and the Internet are beginning to disappear. How?
Well, first, I think it's really important that if we're going to have in the United States a media system that cares about us, that is owned by the public in a way, that is truly diverse in terms of ownership, in terms of interest, that puts the interest of the people before the powerful special interest, we have to take advantage now of this transition. The old media didn't warn us that there were no weapons of mass destruction, at least the most of the mainstream media, apropos your comments about tonight's State of the Union. We can't depend on the old system of the media to really represent the public interest anymore. So we have a chance again because new digital technology is completely transforming what the media looks like, you know, radio and television and music, it's all coming through digitally. And if you have young kids or know young kids and you see them text messaging on their cell phone, or listening to their digital music, they're hip to this change, and it's going to soon overwhelm all of us.
And they're hip to it. They own it.
And indeed, the entire traditional system of media is transforming itself in order to better target young people, to get them to want to buy their products, want to like their brands. It's one of the dangers here that all this terrific power to send personalized multimedia communications wherever our kids are, whether they're in front of the TV, their computers, or on their cell phones, they'll be constantly pitched to buy this music, buy this junk food, buy. And it is one of the real downsides of what's about to happen.
And if we can talk about how the young people are driving the market with the new digital technology, but the old heads still own it, right?
Well, that's exactly right. And I think if you're going to have any... Look, right now you don't have any diversity of ownership when it comes to television, and other major media in the United States. It's completely owned by a handful of corporations, dominated by white male executives, and attempts in the past to diversify ownership have not been successful because they've been up against terrific odds. If we're going to have real diversity of ownership, if you're going to see digital services in communities and nationally owned by women and people of color, if you're going to see services that reflect America's political diversity, this is the time to do it while the of barriers to entry when there's a new beginning where it doesn't cost that much and where the big guys don't have it completely locked down yet. And that's one of the messages of my book. It would be a tragedy if we allowed the major players emerging to be basically the same old bad guys.
And as a woman of African descent, I've always said that the internet is a great equalizer. The people that may have an issue with you as because of your gender, or because of your race, or because of your age, or because of your where you live, they don't have to know any of that. You can have a business on the internet, and nobody has to know any of that, which gives people an equal footing. And so it makes it even, I mean, as you said, that this is a beginning of an opportunity for everybody right now.
Well, you're right. And I think that, you know, it is currently a kind of ideal situation. Anybody can do it. It doesn't, you know, and it's relatively inexpensive to do. I mean, it's still a lot of money, but if you one can really afford to buy a TV station or a radio station in this country anymore, unless, you know, one has gotten a huge inheritance from a Rockefeller. So the barriers to entry are low, and there's all kinds of business models possible. The danger, I think, is that if people don't move in the next, you know, 5 years or so, if they don't on their own as an entrepreneur or as part of a community organization or a new startup, if they don't move and try to create something in this new system, then it will be dominated and overshadowed by the big folks. I mean, after all, Rupert Murdoch owns Fox Television. He bought the most successful website, in the world, MySpace.
And can we back up a little bit, Jeff? And let's talk about all of the what has been purchased, what they own, so that people can understand what we're talking about here.
Well, first, the biggest threat, in a way, not surprising, is what the big phone and cable companies did. We're talking about four or five giants, AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, and Time Warner primarily. They control most of cable television, and they also obviously control a lot of our telephone lines. Well, they are in the internet business, and what they did was they used their lobbyists in Washington to get the Bush Federal Communications Commission, something you won't hear about tonight. They got the Bush FCC to change the rules regarding the internet in the United States so they could have a monopoly over internet lines that come to our homes. Up until the Bush FCC's decision in 2005, you had, by FCC, Federal Communication Commission regulation, an open internet with all kinds of competition, all kinds of different companies providing you with high-speed internet service. No more the old media monopolies of cable and telephone, wanting to preserve their monopoly status in this new era, use their deep pockets to buy lots of FCC commissioners. So right now, one of the biggest threats is the phone and cable companies have a lock on your access to the internet in your home, and they'll be making sure that their content gets marketplace advantage. And then the other big guys are just buying up media properties. And there was about $72 billion, with a B, dollars in mergers and buyouts last year in the media and technology sphere here in the United States. They're gobbling up all kinds of properties, the old media, including Fox buying MySpace, Google, which is a new media company, but which is really just an advertising company. Google swallowed up YouTube last year for $1 billion. Google invested $1 billion in old media giant Time Warner. Disney's buying stuff. So, yeah, they're swallowing up a lot of the major properties in order to position themselves everywhere, wherever the consumer will be. You know, these old media giants intend to be there to dominate. And that's the danger, that if we don't have some federal safeguards, but also if we don't see real sort of public competition, public alternatives, that those old media values will dominate this incredible new system.
And another way of looking at this in terms of evaluating who is dominant and how few there are is the ad revenues, the internet ad revenues.
That's exactly right. The internet ad revenues are going to very, very few companies. Google and Yahoo and Microsoft.
You wrote that three quarters of all internet ad revenues go to 10 companies?
That's according to Advertising Age, and the point the article was making, Advertising Age covers the advertising business, is that despite the advent of the internet, it looks like only a handful of big companies are still going to dominate where the money comes from. That being said, that doesn't mean that, you know, one can't in fact create a new business, make a deal with Google, which will work with anybody. I mean, you know, yes, they work with Rupert Murdoch, but they'll also, you know, work with liberal groups, etc. You know, make a deal with Google or some other kind of company and try to generate revenues. We should not allow, you know, companies that don't share my opinion, community values, the values of building a vibrant democracy, to scoop up all the revenues. We should make sure that some of the money, the huge amounts of money that will be made through this new digital system, remains with this different parts of the public, helps create wealth in places that need wealth.
And so let's talk about, because you make the point that we need to create the type of media system that we want, not through policy, but through a focused and strategic marketplace intervention. Let's talk about that.
Well, look, if I thought that public policy, and I've worked on sort of public interest policy most of my adult life, for the 25 years, if I thought that public policy at this point would, you know, provide real opportunities for people who don't own a piece of the media, such as women and people of color, to own it, if I thought that there would be policies to protect our privacy and all that, and we still need to fight for them, excuse me, but we can't count on them. The hold that these big companies have over both political parties is so enormous that it's likely that your Congress, even the Democratic Congress, can't move fast enough, if ever. And I am worried that if we just sit back, many people sort of think, oh, this is a terrific technology, I don't have to worry, you know, there'll always be opportunity, there'll always be this kind of diversity. If we just sit back, then these big guys are going to make all this money because they're going to control the three key platforms. There's three major ways we're going to get information in this world, and that's through the computer, through the cell phone, which is going to become more of a mobile device, these little tiny things you'll be carrying with you,
iPhones
and all that.
iPhones.
Yeah, it sounds futuristic now, but in fact, the big phone and cable companies and others are investing billions. That's my point. Look, these big companies are investing billions to create America's future, you know, media reality.
And that's a media reality that allows them advertising access to us.
Exactly. It's only about digital dollars. It's only about, you know, collecting all kinds of information. Their vision for the future is just a super advertising machine. Because the new media allows the collection of information about all of us on an individual basis, every website we go to, they're able to track us. They create a profile of us. They know our likes and dislikes. They take that profile. It travels with us as we journey through the internet. They take that information and sell it to advertisers. Soon they'll be tracking us on cell phones and even in front of our TVs. Once again, this is not science fiction paranoia. I wish it was so. It's what they, you know, have not only in store for us, it's what is actually being put in these machines now. So it's all about advertising. It's all about marketing. It's not about community. It's not about diversity. It's not about democracy. You know, it's not about building a healthy generation of children. You know, I'm sure there's a little of that, but that's not what motivates them. You know, and it's making just bucks. And I'm saying we have to have a media system where, yeah, there's profit, you know, and profit for many more people, but we're building a better democracy, building a place that's fairer, building a place that maybe even thinks twice before, you know, it gets into unneeded wars. I think it's essential now.
And it's interesting that you talk about how they are, this is about marketing. The scary piece of that is that how so much of everything is about marketing. Politics is about marketing. So now we have politicians really wanting to get the same information that the advertisers are getting.
That's exactly right. The politicians are using the same kinds of techniques. And, of course, we know that the Bush administration has also been spying on the public and some of these big media.
For marketing stuff, for the same, whether it's marketing a war or marketing toothpaste, it's about marketing, getting our information to market to us.
It is, and I think, you know, it's important for people to also sort of sit back and think, well, why is this media any different than what we have now? Well, it's personal. It's because they know, you know, let's say your kid's favorite color, favorite music. They're actually going to be able to send a kind of animated, lifelike figure called an avatar to the TV, to their computer, maybe to their cell phone, that will speak to that kid, that will speak to us, that in a way will reflect some of our deepest, you know, interests and even fears.
Okay, hold that thought, Jeff. We've got to take a break.
All right,
I'm talking to Jeff Chester, author of Digital Destiny from Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your weather and your traffic. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 252-70 overpass. Look for slow traffic going on there. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue. The 5570 merge is on the move. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Big Bend. It is slow as well. Westbound 270 is rolling well into West Florissant. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp is a little slow at the top of the ramp. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Landing looks good. Eastbound 40 from Spady Road through from Spady through Lindbergh. Look for no delays. And also from Timberlake Manor through Mason Road. Look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some delays there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy, high in the lower 40s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Wednesday, partly cloudy, high in the upper 30s. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. Currently, we have 29 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 30. The wind chill makes it feel like it's about 23. Clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my guest this hour is Jeff Chester. He is the author of Digital Destiny, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. Jeff, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Liz.
So we're talking about our access and our opportunity, I guess, to reframe or to frame the digital community. Talk to us about some opportunities that we have. What could the average person ask for in this framing of the digital world that we live in right now?
Well, first, I think there's opportunities all across the country. You know, the next big wave of commercial investment is going to be at the community level, such as in St. Louis. The big companies realize that people still like their home. They like to shop in their town, and they're going to need these new digital technologies to figure out, you know, where to go, you know, where to buy things, so, you know, where to eat out, et cetera. And so there's going to be a huge wave of investment. And I think instead of allowing, you know, a Disney or a Fox or some other even media giant come in and own what that community network looks like, that system looks like, why shouldn't there be ones owned by different people? Why can't there be cooperatives, so owned by the public or a startup, you know, where the money, where people come online? Look, it's important to recognize, you know, that, and once again, you have to look at young people. They're living a lot of their lives online. We're not going back. And, you know, these changes, you know, it may take 15, 20 years, it may take 5 years, but they're happening. And people need to be hip to those changes and figure out how we can use it to benefit ourselves and everyone else. So creating a kind of community place online where people like to gather and share photos and share stories and make movies, but also buy things, and hopefully where that money is used to promote the public interest and address the needs of the people that are disenfranchised, et cetera. You know, creating those kind of what they call Web 2.0, this next generation internet service that's going to be important in the lives of every American.
So what is Web 2.0?
Well, it's the newest buzzword, but basically it's an online community. You know, where people actually participate, they share, they discuss things. It also provides them services such as, you know, places to put your photos up of your family online or talk about your favorite band. It's huge now, and billions upon billions of dollars are being invested. And there's a website that tracks this every day. It's called Paid Content, one word, PAIDCONTENT.org. And I advise, you know, your listeners to go there, because it's just mind-boggling when you see the billions and billions of dollars being invested once again.
What will we see if we go to paidcontent.org?
Well, you'll see who's investing. You'll see all the big companies, all the venture capitalists, all the banks, Wall Street, big media companies investing every day billions of dollars in creating all these new different kinds of services. That money and that investment is going to define our media reality. That doesn't mean that there's going to be money for community people. It doesn't mean there's going to be money for people that want to improve the lives of the public. It doesn't mean that people who have low incomes are going to be able to own a piece of the business. What that means is a handful of very wealthy people, you know, whose primary interest is just profit, not community, are going to be able to dominate our local and national media. So I think it's important to look at it and say, do I really want a handful of those people who don't really care about what happens to me to determine the destiny of our media in my city and my nation?
And you make the point in your article, the Digital Media Marketplace, Next Frontier for Media Reform, that suppose the low-income residents of New Orleans had a Web 2.0 service.
Look, I think that this is the time for some bold action. And I, once again, you know, if you wait, the government's not going to step in. I wish it was the case. The government's not going to step in and say, hey, we gave out all the TV and radio licenses to a handful of companies back in the 1930s, you know, all owned by white males, you know, pardon me, and we're going to take them back. They're not going to do that.
Ain't happening.
It ain't happening. Now, it's very important to have real diversity of ownership for a variety of reasons. But, you know, it's also important to figure out, okay, you know, why shouldn't people at the lower end of economic opportunities at the moment, you know, get a chance to own media that reflects their interests, their needs, their concerns. One of my criticisms about, and one of the illustrations of how our current system, I think, has failed us, is that the people that live in the Gulf are off the front pages. They're off the nightly news. You know, you're not hearing really about what's going on and the failures and all that.
And there was more coverage for Hillary Clinton's Saturday announcement of the inevitable than there was of John Edwards' announcement down in New Orleans.
That's true, and John Edwards is right now seems to be one of the only candidates talking about America's poor.
Fact.
So exactly. So what? How do we try to counter this? Well, if there was an organization, you know, in New Orleans that created this kind of social network and was owned and operated by by community people. You know, yes, you'd be doing things that aren't political overtly, like having places where people can share photos and share this and share that, but you would be able to generate revenues and tell your story. It's very important that in this new world, different people control the way to tell stories about what's really going on.
So I can't own a Web 2.0 service now?
Well, you could start one, and you should.
Okay.
You absolutely should. If you don't do it, you can be sure that, you know, if one of those big media companies, Scripps or somebody else is going to come in and operate it and dominate. This is the time. This next few years is the time to enter the marketplace. You know, whether you're just an entrepreneur, or hopefully you want to do something to benefit the public interest and the community.
So let's talk about some of the politics of this that's going on right now in Washington, D.C., net neutrality. Explain what that is.
Well, as I said just a little bit ago, the Internet in the United States, the Internet's a global medium, but there are policies that every country can pass. And the Internet in the United States emerged because there was a public policy supported by the Federal Communications Commission that said, hey, when the Internet line comes to your house over the phone line, it cannot discriminate against anyone. Hey, you're a phone company, you're a monopoly, we regulate you, and you're prohibited from discriminating against any phone call. You're prohibited, in other words, you can't, the phone company was prohibited in saying, I don't like this phone call coming in to Joe or Jane, I'm going to block it, or I'm going to slow it down. You know, it was.
Or it costs too much money to provide that kind of complete service to this part of the city, so let's give it that service to the, where it's easier to provide service
that
to.
That's another thing, that they were prohibited from redlining. So this was a real threat. The idea that you'd have a real open Internet in the United States where anybody could provide anybody with Internet service, where all of a sudden anybody could offer consumers a phone service because phone calls can go over the Internet. That was a real threat to the Verizon and AT&T. If the Internet was permitted to be a non-discriminatory medium, anybody could offer you lots of video programming, new cable channels. That was a threat to the Comcast and the Time Warners and the other cable companies. So, all right, so the Internet was a real threat to the, long-standing monopolists. They went to the FCC over the last few years and got the FCC to junk the rules prohibiting non-discrimination. I think that's the most important and sad part of all this, that the phone and cable companies deliberately went to Washington, D.C. to strip away the non-discrimination safeguard of the Internet. Why? So they could discriminate. And network neutrality is the buzzword, the term that advocates are using to say, let's bring non-discrimination back to the Internet. And there's a fight right now in Washington, but it's unlikely that it will pass in the next couple of years.
It's unlikely that it will pass.
It's because the phone and cable companies are too strong and the Congress is too corrupt.
Is it just that the Congress is corrupt, or do they understand this? Do they understand the hugeness of this?
Well, I understand that a lot of them don't understand it, which it's mind-boggling. Hey, you deliberately eliminated the non-discrimination safeguard. That should be un-American, right? People should be, thrown into prison for that or something like that. So they claim they don't understand it. Look, the phone and cable companies have a huge lobby, and they're able to buy support from the Democrats and the Republicans. There are Republicans and Democrats who do support restoring the non-discrimination safeguard, this network neutrality safeguard, but it's an uphill battle. That's why I'm saying, look, why we fight for these policies, and we should fight for them, we also have to be realistic. All right. That's why it's really important now that people who don't own a piece of the media and want to do it, people that want to make sure that the community and the public benefit, not just, big monopolies, come in right now and shape this marketplace on behalf of the public interest.
Well, we have a couple more minutes here. I'm talking to Jeff Chester. He's the author of Digital Destiny. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
direct care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy. Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and you don't want to miss the rest of the show we have today. In the 9 o'clock hour, we will be joined by P.J. Crawley. P.J. Crawley is a senior fellow and the director of the National Defense and Homeland Security at the Center for American Progress. He was also, during the Clinton administration, the special assistant to the president for national security affairs. We're going to be talking about Iraq. We're going to be talking about what Bush is not going to be saying tonight and what he should be saying tonight about Iraq. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, amazing, we have Duke Energy, DuPont, FPL Group, General Electric coming together with environmentalists. That's what happened yesterday. A diverse group of U.S. businesses and leading environmental organizations called on the federal government to enact strong national legislation to reduce the amount of greenhouse gas emissions. Huh? Well, that's going to be in the next hour. We're going to be talking about that. It just happened yesterday. This hour we're talking to Jeff Chester. He's the author of Digital Destiny. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Jeff, you touched upon a couple of things that I want to take just a couple of minutes to explore a little further. We talked about the mining of our personal data on the internet, what's happening right now. What are some things that people can be doing or what are some of the things that should be done to protect us from the Bushes and the Cheneys and all the folks and the companies out there that want our information?
Well, first, I think people need to know that whenever they're online, they are being tracked. People probably have heard of these so-called cookies. They're little files that are placed on our computers that tell the websites we go to information about us. But people don't really know that those cookies have become much more elaborate. They're tracking all kinds of our online behaviors, and they're taking that information about us and following us across literally thousands of different websites. So I think it's very important to know this and to complain about it. You can wipe out those files. But what we really need now, and even though I said legislation is difficult, is we need people yelling and screaming. We need national privacy legislation. We should not be allowing all these online companies and cell phone companies to collect all this data about us so they can target us with advertising or even share the data with the government that wants to spy on us.
And isn't there another motivation that people should be aware of? There's a reason why there's so much a push for us to consume so much. Our economy depends upon it. So doesn't the government have an interest in allowing these businesses out here access to us to get us to buy more, because that's what our economy depends upon, us buying stuff?
Yeah, but I also think, and this may sound like a superficial comment, that it's in the interest of folks to keep everybody just as kind of, mindless consumers. These new technologies have the potential to make us want to buy even more and to pay more attention to sort of buying than really addressing the things that need to be fixed in this country, from health care to opportunities for employment, education. So it's in the government interest, certainly in terms of the economy and creating a docile public, but it's not in our interest to allow this system to further evolve that can manipulate us to do all kinds of things without our real conscious consent. One of the most disturbing elements here is how the advertising industry is working with brain scientists, I'm not fooling, with neuroscientists to figure out ways of implanting messages in our head without our really being aware of it.
Mm. Well, let me ask you.
What else is new? Right?
Yeah, well, it's they're just getting better at it.
That's what's scary.
they're just getting better at it.
The system is so perfect for them, and they're really manipulating it behind the scenes, and the public isn't aware of it.
And getting to the awareness of the public of this, you think the public will respond if there's a threat for us having to pay more for cable TV and for the Internet?
Well,
what's going to get our attention?
Well, I think that's one of the few areas that has, in fact, generated a public backlash when the prices have gone up and up and up. But I'd like to think that if you think about your kids, do you want your kids to be constantly assaulted to buy junk food and buy this and to buy that? Do we really want to see the next generation sort of turned into people who care more about what they wear and what they own than their family members and their community? That's what's at stake here, and I hope it'll drive the public to say we're mad as hell and we don't want you to
take it anymore. And the other piece of it is that I think that the part that we started off the conversation with is leaving it in the hands of our government to do right by us.
That's exactly right. I think it's a long-term, struggle to achieve the kind of society we want and to get the government to respond. I just don't think, even with the Democrats in control of Congress, because they've taken so much, big interest money in the past, and they'll need it again, to pay for those expensive presidential campaigns, that we can count on any of them to do what's right. Therefore, we have to have an alternative strategy and to take advantage of the fact that we're in this transition moment with old and new media, and to put some new media services out there, even if they flop, it's worth trying, that can help change our reality for the better in the next few years.
And where would you direct people to go to do that? What's the first step that the average person would do to do what you're saying?
Well, I think they can come on our website, democraticmedia.org. We're going to try to put more information up there about it. They could read that article you talked about, which is on our website at democraticmedia.org. But they should look at paidcontent.org or Publishing 2.0. They should learn about, where folks are investing in this new media world, what's being planned, who's owning it, what's missing, and try to figure out a strategy. We're certainly here to help people as well. So we'd like to see a new media system in the United States that's diversely owned and that puts the interests of the public before a handful of giant corporations.
You all gathered there a few days back. How did that go?
Well, there were thousands of people that came to Memphis, to both remember Dr. King and to think about what his legacy looks like in the digital era. And so it was inspiring, and I think it does show that people do care, that they recognize the media really helps create a lot of our reality. It helps the media in this country determines what people think can be done, and we clearly have to change the media to change our reality for the better.
Jeff Chester, author of Digital Destiny, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
It was an honor.
Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. Don't forget, there is a gathering a week from today at the St. Louis, or actually at Harrisstowe University. If you attend only one public forum this year, you need to attend this one. DESE, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, is coming down to St. Louis to talk to us, to listen to us about how we feel about Francis Slay's planned takeover of the St. Louis public schools, the nullification of your votes. Put it on your calendar a week from today, Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisstowe in the main auditorium. That's 3026 Laclede Avenue. Everybody gets to speak. You just have to get there and sign up on the list. And if you don't want to talk, write it down. They're going to be taking written comments. Oh, please, teachers out there, pass it on. Have your kids write why they don't want a state takeover. Have your students write why they don't. Make it an assignment. What happens when you nullify people's votes? You have a week to get this done. They should be inundated. DESE should be inundated with your letters, your reasons, your words, your spirit, your energy about why this cannot happen, should not happen, will not happen. A week from today at 6 o'clock at Harrisstowe University at 3026 Laclede, DESE will be here to hear you about your comments. And if you don't want to talk, if you're shy about talking, write it down and hand it to them. They should need a tractor trailer to take away all of the written comments that you all have for them. Do you hear me? You need to be there a week from today at 6 o'clock at Harrisstowe, the main auditorium, 3026 Laclede. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. In the next hour, we're going to be talking with Daniel Lashoff. Businesses? We had Duke Energy, DuPont, Caterpillar, General Electric meeting with environmentalists? Huh? We're going to be talking about that in the next hour because they came together yesterday, held a press conference, and said, you know what? Somebody needs to do something about the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, and we want to make that happen. Environmentalists and businesses, huh? Big businesses. I can't wait for this conversation. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Come, the air till
For
the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The musical Dreamgirls leads away with 8 Academy Award nominations, but the picture about a girl group on its way to the top of the charts was shut out in the Best Picture category, for which it had been considered a potential frontrunner. Jennifer Hudson, the woman you're hearing here, and Eddie Murphy received Best Supporting Actress and Supporting Actor nods. The ensemble drama Babel was close behind with 7 nominations. The 79th Academy Awards will be broadcast February 25th on ABC TV. The White House says President Bush will focus on domestic issues in tonight's State of the Union address, but will also mention the hot-button issue, Iraq. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
Press Secretary Tony Snow has been helping prepare tonight's address, and he wonders, how will Democrats respond?
Can these people in Washington work together? Can members of Congress work with the president, or is there simply going to be partisan exchanges for the next 2 years?
When it comes to Iraq, several Republican legislators are joining the debate on the side opposing a troop surge. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
2 more U.S. service members have been killed in Iraq, a soldier and a Marine. Opening statements begin this hour in the perjury and obstruction trial of former White House aide Louis Libby.
Ironically, opening arguments will occur on the same day President delivers his State of the Union address. It was the claim Saddam Hussein had sought nuclear material in Africa in his 2003 address that created a chain of events leading to this trial. Libby faces 5 felony charges for allegedly lying to investigators about who leaked the identity of the CIA wife of administration critic Joe Wilson.
ABC's Pam Coulter in Washington. Some changes for travelers starting today. You'll need a passport if you're traveling to any foreign country. This woman needs to Canada and get to Canada, and she doesn't have one.
Actually, my husband's in Montreal now, and I'm concerned because if I want to fly up and go see him, I'm not going to be able to see him.
You'll also need a passport to go to Mexico. This is ABC News.
Have you heard the one about the guy who's looking for a good used car and actually finds one? No, really. That's because he got a Honda certified used car. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Sam's Club has everything you need for your next football party. From Tostitos to Little Smokies to furniture taken straight from John Elway's house.
You mean my furniture line?
Yes, they'll be lining up at Sam's Club for party items like Pace Junkie's salsa and John Elway's couch.
Not my sofa, my casual living collection.
Well, I can't cancel the movers now.
Yeah? How about I cancel your face?
Sam's Club, when only the greatest party of all time will do. 10% service fee applies to non-member purchases. Elway furniture available at samsclub.com.
As far as a federal judge in Illinois is concerned, it's a matter of free speech. He settled a battle over the use of some controversial license plates. Here's ABC's Joan Bennett.
On the 34th anniversary of the Supreme Court ruling legalizing abortion, a U.S. district judge said Illinois must offer specialty license plates that say, "Choose Life." Judge David Corr said the motto used by abortion foes is protected by the First Amendment. He said he believes that the request for a Choose Life plate was prompted by a sincere interest in promoting adoptions. Similar license plates have been approved in about a dozen states. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Well, this may or it may not increase your vehicle's mileage, but then again, it might just help your conscience. A group called the Terror Free Oil Initiative is opening a chain of gas stations across the country that will offer, they say, petroleum products from nations that don't sponsor terror. The first is planned for Omaha. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Burns-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, Jennings police are looking for a hit-and-run driver that killed a North St. Louis County grandmother. 69-year-old Flora Babbitt was reportedly crossing Jennings Station Road near Halls Ferry on Friday night when she was struck by a minivan. According to witnesses, the driver briefly stopped but then left the scene. Mrs. Babbitt died later at the hospital. Police say the vehicle was a maroon early 90s model minivan with wood paneling. Investigators say that as a result of the incident, the van may now have damage to its hood and front passenger side. A lawyer representing Michael Devlin says his client plans to plead not guilty in the abduction of Sean Hornbeck. Devlin has already pleaded not guilty in the kidnapping of Ben Ownby. Devlin's lawyer, Michael Keelty, says he expects his client to be arraigned on Friday, but a clerk at the Washington County Associate Circuit Court says the hearing date has not been set. Finally this hour, Governor Matt Blunt plans to budget money for technology classrooms across the state. Blunt made the announcement at St. Louis Community College in Florissant Valley yesterday. Blunt says he wants to make Missouri students competitive when it comes to jobs in science, technology, and engineering. The governor plans to budget $2.9 million for the task and is also recommending the state allocate $250,000 for advanced placement tests. He also wants $1 million to be spent on after-school programs that focus on math and science. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather. Eastbound 44 at Grand and Jefferson. Look for an accident in Jefferson causing a slowdown there. Westbound 5570 from 64 on the PSB. You can expect some delays. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. Expect delays there. Eastbound 40 from Spady through Hanley. And then again from Timberlake Manor through Mason. Expect some slowdowns going on there. Southbound 170 at Page and Olive. Look for road construction reduced to two lanes in the roadway, and that's causing some delays. Westbound 64 from Bell Avenue, the 5570 merge. Look for delays. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270 is slowing down around that 270 interchange. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant is rolling well. Northbound Route 3 on the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp has a bit of a slowdown. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit through the landing, look for a slowdown. And northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Big Bend is slowing down on either side of the 44 interchange. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy, high in the lower 40s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Wednesday, partly cloudy, high in the upper 30s, and pretty much the same for Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies, 29 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting clear skies and 30 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight, remember. I will never say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. And if you've missed an hour, that's okay. You can go get your hour at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. I was reading an article. An article that talks about that the year 2006 is the warmest year on record. The 2006 average annual temperature for the contiguous United States was the warmest on record. 7 months in 2006 were much warmer than average, including December, which ended as the fourth warmest December since records began in 1895. It's getting hot in here. It's getting hot in here. We have an administration that is convinced that it's the thing of junk science almost, this idea of global warming and our contributions towards that. We have an administration that has largely depended upon, what is it, the kindness of strangers. The willingness of businesses to voluntarily reduce their contributions. How's that working out for us? Not too well. So in the midst of all of that, we had a coming together yesterday. That is remarkable, if not for the membership of it, but also for the timing of it. Yesterday, there was a press conference held at the National Press Club, a press conference held by an organization called the U.S. Climate Action Partnership. And here is their pledge. They pledge to work with the President, the Congress, and all other stakeholders to enact an environmentally effective, economically sustainable, and fair climate change program consistent with our principles at the earliest practical date. What is that? Who are these people? And what is it that they want to do? We're going to talk about that with Daniel Lashoff. He's the science director for the National Resource Defense Council Climate Center. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back with more of this conversation. Stay with me. Good morning, this is Liz Brown, and let me tell you this, if you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th.
Tuesday from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 Laclede. Be there.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. That's 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU, 920 a.m.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Butterfly, I sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even if no one else wants it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest man
alive. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is Daniel Lashoff, Science Director for the National Resource Defense Council Climate Center, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Great.
Very good. Daniel, who is the National Resource Defense Climate Council Climate Center?
Yeah, actually, it's the Natural Resources Defense Council. We're a national nonprofit environmental research and advocacy group supported by 1.2 million members and online advocates around the country, working to secure our natural resources, to stop global warming, and move America beyond oil, among other priorities.
And you held a press conference yesterday.
We participated in a press conference with a remarkable diverse group of leading environmental advocates and some of the world's biggest companies, including General Electric and Duke Energy, BP America, Caterpillar, not companies that we usually share the stage with.
Yeah,
so it was different, but very, very encouraging because this group has come together to call on Congress to act and to act now to reduce the pollution that causes global warming.
And can we back up a little bit? How did I know that this wasn't your first appearance together, this press conference? How did you all come together to come to this press conference?
Well, this is the work of about a year's effort of off-the-record discussions between our organizations, and you know, we realized that we had common ground, that the environmental groups came to the table saying global warming is an urgent problem. We need action now, and the companies. These companies recognized the science, recognized that action on global warming was going to happen, and realized that for them, action sooner is better than later, because once they know what the rules are going to be, what the limits on global warming pollution are going to be, they can make more sensible investments in new technology to help meet those limits, and it's better to have that in place now. Rather than have to wait another 5 or 10 years and then have to do it on a crash basis, which would be much more expensive.
I heard I think a quote was attributed to someone at your meeting at the press conference yesterday. Yes, we're strange bedfellows, but this is not a one-night stand.
Right, right. I mean, we're committed to continue to work together to push the Congress to enact legislation. We briefed members of Congress yesterday. We'll have additional briefings with staff on Friday of this week. And, you know, we look forward to continuing to work with the leaders in Congress as legislation really gets moving, which we think it really will happen this year, and that this group coming together changes the political landscape and makes it much more likely that we'll pass meaningful legislation to limit global warming pollution.
And the legislation that exists now, it's kind of voluntary, isn't it?
Well, the efforts, there really is no overall global warming legislation. The Bush administration has simply called on companies to voluntarily limit their emissions, and it's kind of a fig leaf for a do-nothing strategy. I mean, if you look at the reports that companies have made, there's some efforts that sound good on paper, and there have been some energy efficiency improvements and other things that make a difference, but the bottom line is global warming pollution is going up, not down. We've got to reverse that, and voluntary efforts are not capable of getting that done.
Well, I get why you are there, okay? I understand completely why you were at this press conference and you are part of this. Explain to me why a GE or a Lehman Brothers or a Caterpillar, Duke in Energy, why are they there?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it comes down to this. First, they have actually looked at the science of global warming and concluded that it's a real problem, that a strategy of denial and delay is not going to be viable any longer. So they realize that we've got to get on with it. That's the first thing. Secondly, they recognize that they've got billion-dollar investment decisions to make, and it's very hard to make those investments when they know that limits on global warming pollution are coming, but they don't know what they are yet. So it's actually better for them to get those in place now so they can make smart investments. And then the third thing is that they actually see opportunities to sell cleaner technology and to meet the market demand for solutions to global warming. So these companies both see the need to act now and they see an opportunity.
I get that this administration is, basically denying the science of global warming and green and the emissions, greenhouse emissions. I get the administration feels that way. How prevalent and how deeply implanted is that view within Congress? And yeah. And does the change in this Congress afford you an opportunity that didn't exist, let's say, 2 years ago?
Yeah, well, I think there is a dramatic change in Congress. Certainly, if you look at the Senate Environment Committee, which is one of the main committees that has to work on legislation, with the new Congress, the chairmanship of that committee switched from James Inhofe, who is a Republican of Oklahoma, who has said that global warming is a myth and just is really completely refuses to recognize reality on this issue. And it switched to Senator Barbara Boxer of California, who has said that global warming is her top priority and, in fact, co-sponsored a bill that's already been introduced in this Congress that would require global warming pollution to be reduced. 80% over time. So it's a very dramatic change. We think that there's a big opportunity, and I think that these companies joining with us now in this call also really accelerates that momentum. And I think it's got to change the attitude of both members of Congress and at least to some extent the administration, because they have used as their excuse for not acting on global warming the idea that acting would be bad for business. Well, here are some of the biggest businesses in the country saying, no, actually, it's good for business.
And in terms of the types of hearings that are going to be held, I know that the senator from Alaska, when he held his hearings, people like you were shut out of them.
Well, I think that we'll see robust hearings. I've had some opportunities to testify in the last Congress, but I think we're going to see much more sound information in front of the Congress. In the House, Representative Dingell, who's chairing the Energy and Commerce Committee, has invited Al Gore to testify. In the Senate, I think Senator Boxer has indicated that she will have her first global warming hearing before the end of this month. So they're going to get started soon. I think they'll have very robust hearings, but we got to move beyond hearings to actually putting legislation on the books.
How soon can we move, and how soon do we need to move?
Well, we need to move right away. I mean, our hope is that Congress will pass legislation this year. We think that's possible. It's been debated for a long time already. We're not starting from scratch in terms of writing legislation. There have been proposals in the last Congress and the Congress before that that couldn't get the necessary votes, and we think that that's changing, and the votes are here. The issue with global warming is this is not a problem that gets better if you ignore it. It's not the headache. You can ignore it and wake up in the morning and it's gone. It just gets worse each year because the heat-trapping carbon dioxide pollution that's coming out of power plants and automobile tailpipes builds up in the atmosphere, and it stays there for more than a century. So each year of delay means we get further behind the eight ball. And so it's just critical that we begin right away to turn this ship around.
Is there any real disagreement between your organizations and these businesses that have come together to stand with you all? Is there any real disagreement about the global, the greenhouse warming? Is there any real scientific disagreement between you all?
No, I mean, our groups are united in recognizing that global warming is a serious threat, that we have to act, swiftly and decisively. I think we reached agreement on principles, recognizing the need to reduce emissions to the point where we could stop the continued buildup of global warming pollution in the atmosphere. We reached agreement on that very quickly. It took a little longer to reach agreement on more specific recommendations for legislation, but we feel like we've done a really good job there as well. So it's been a very interesting process, but I'm very encouraged by it.
Well, we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Daniel Lashoff, Science Director for National Resource Defense Council Climate Center. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's check out your traffic and your weather for this 8:30 period. Eastbound 44 from Hampton through Jefferson. Look for an accident. Two left lanes are blocked. That's at Jefferson, so expect stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason. Look for a slowdown there. Westbound 64 at Bell Avenue and 5570 merge. You can expect some delays. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant. Look for some delays. Southbound 170 at Page and Olive. There's road construction reducing the roadway to two lanes, so they expect some slowdowns there. Northbound 270 from Tucson Ferry through Big Bend. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from Mraz all the way to 270. Look for some delays around the 270 exchange. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well into Landing. Northbound Route 3 is moving well from Monsanto Avenue all the way up to the top of the ramp there. Westbound 5570 from 64 split through Poplar Street Bridge. Expect a slowdown. Eastbound 70 from 270 through the St. Charles Rock Road. Look for some delays. And eastbound 40 from Spady through Hanley. Look for some delays there as well. And eastbound 70 from K through 79. You're starting to see a bit of a slowdown ease up there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy, high in the lower 40s today. Partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s this evening. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. Currently, we have 29 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 30 degrees, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Riveting Radio right here on AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll talk to you at the top of the hour.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen has a new time, Tuesdays from 10 until noon, right here on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this, if you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 McLean. Be there.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is Daniel Lashoff. He's the Science Director for National Resource Defense Council Climate Center, joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're talking about this amazing press conference that was held yesterday when a diverse group of U.S.-based businesses and leading environmental organizations called on our good government to quickly enact strong national legislation to which achieve significant reductions of greenhouse gas emissions. Daniel, welcome back. Can we talk about some of the what you want the government to do? And I guess I'd like to start with kind of what are the principles behind what you're asking the government to do?
Sure. Well, you know, our principles are that we need to start right away. We know enough to act on global warming. and that we need a mandatory but flexible approach to reduce emissions. So, you know, what we have to do is set an overall limit on the amount of heat-trapping carbon dioxide and other heat-trapping pollutants that go into the atmosphere. We, working with these industries, believe that we can provide a lot of flexibility that will stimulate innovation, new technologies to get that done. We don't want the government to dictate exactly what technology is used. What the government needs to do is set the overall environmental standard, the overall goals, and insist that people live up to that. And then the market can play a big role in finding the best approaches. At the same time, we do think there is a need for complementary policies in some areas, such as improved energy efficiency standards for new buildings, homes, so that they don't waste as much energy, more efficient automobiles. That will help us meet the overall limit on global warming pollution. So that's a broad outline of what we're recommending.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Yes, you have a question for my guest, Daniel Lashoff.
Yes, I would like to know exactly what was GE's input in this meeting, because they are one of the worst polluters in the world. I mean, in the world. And I'm just wondering, what did they have to say that would be positive in a meeting like this? Because this is what causes, the pollution is what causes this global warming.
Thanks for your question.
It's a good question, and, you know, GE has had a rocky past. In fact, we've sued them to force them to clean up the Hudson River in the past. I think under the new leadership of their current CEO, Jeff Immelt, they're trying to turn the company around and have made a real, I think, genuine commitment to develop more environmentally friendly technologies and to try to grow that business. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't also sell some other technologies that are more polluting, but I think they see their future as selling cleaner technology, and that's why they're part of this. So we're very encouraged by the direction they're going in.
And are you all, as an entity, taking a position on coal bad, nuclear good, nuclear bad, or wind good? Do you all take that kind of a position?
Well, you know, the bottom line for us is we've got to reduce the pollution that causes global warming, and we think that there's a range of technologies that can play a role. We think that if coal is going to be used, it's got to be used with the most advanced technologies that allow the very large quantities of carbon dioxide that is produced when coal is consumed to be captured and safely disposed of underground. You know, I think we recognize that about half of our electricity comes from coal today, and it will continue to play a role in our energy future for some time to come. But any new plants really should be using the most advanced technology.
And if you had your way?
Well, you know, if I had my way, if NRDC was able to write the policy all by itself, we would certainly say that, you know, we should start with, and actually there's broad agreement that the cornerstone of solving global warming is improving energy efficiency. That's the fastest, cheapest, and cleanest way in which we can provide the energy services people want without putting pollution into the atmosphere.
But isn't also pursuing technologies that have been kind of shut out of this discussion by our obsession with and our familiarity with oil? I mean,
sure, that's right. I mean, I think there's a big role for biofuels that can replace oil, and for technologies like plug-in hybrid electric vehicles that some of the auto companies are starting to show concepts for at the auto show up in Detroit. So there's a role there, and in fact, by being aggressive in reducing global warming pollution, we're also going to be able to reduce our dependence on oil and improve our security.
And aren't there also things that could be pushed policy-wise? I was just watching a special the other day about some of the things that are happening in Chicago with building green spaces on tops of buildings.
Yeah, absolutely. Green buildings is a big part of the solution here. Chicago has been a leader in that movement. The architectural community is really coming on board and saying, you know, we ought to be building new buildings that don't have any net emissions of global warming pollution. We know how to do that. We can put solar panels on the roof. We can build buildings that don't waste as much energy. And these green roofs where you actually plant plants on the roof and improve the atmosphere, not just for the building, but for the whole city if it's done right.
Let me get to another caller or two. Lindsay, you have a question for my guest, Daniel Lashoff.
Yes, I do. I would like to ask him, I would like to ask him this. What effect does this war on Iraq have? All this energy that's going up into the air, and isn't it true that as the world orbits, don't we go back through some of that, and we're spreading that around the world? I would just like to know that plus the air conditioners that we use, our standard of living.
Well, certainly. Can we start with the second question first, with respect to the contributions that we as Americans make to global warming?
Sure. Well, America produces more global warming pollution than any other country. One reason is because the very high amount of energy that we use in our homes. And it's not a question of giving up air conditioning. It's a question of making sure we use the most efficient equipment possible and that we generate the electricity in a clean way.
And with respect to the impact and the effect of what we use when we go to war, does that contribute to our concerns about global warming?
I mean, I think the biggest effect of the war is, you know, the more direct impacts. But certainly the energy that's required to run the ships and the airplanes, that consuming all that diesel fuel does also contribute to our global warming pollution.
And can we talk about the some of the short-term emission reduction targets, because I think everybody understands that. What are the short-term and the long-term targets?
Sure. What we're calling for is within 5 years after legislation is enacted, we need to kind of slow the growth of emissions and allow them to grow, either hold them constant at current levels or grow by no more than 5%. 10 years late out, we need to reduce emissions by up to 10%. And 15 years from enactment, make a 10 to 30% reduction in emissions below current levels. So those are very specific targets that that need to be met in the short and medium term.
I keep marveling at the people that came together yesterday, all of the businesses that joined your organization and others like you. Who wasn't there that you would have liked to have seen there?
Well, I think the main sector that was missing was the U.S. auto industry, and they really need to get on board and recognize that their future is also in producing cleaner cars. And we'll continue to reach out to the auto industry and hope to involve them in the future.
And what was the response that you had from the you said that you talked to members of Congress and you gave this out. People can go find this, a call for action report. What was their response to you all?
The response was very positive. I think members of Congress have been, you know, some leaders have been trying to work on this issue, and they recognize that this group really makes a big difference to the momentum and their ability to get something done this year. So we think that this really moves the ball forward, and there's a lot of receptivity on Capitol Hill now that hasn't been there before.
And isn't this one of the – was this one of the priorities of the new Democratic majority?
Yeah, absolutely. Speaker Pelosi has said that this is going to be a priority for her. She's asked for the committees to develop legislation by July, and commend her for really putting a spotlight on this and pushing the process forward.
And so when do you think that the first thing is going to be done?
Well, you know, it's hard to know, but we certainly expect hearings to start this month, and the legislative process in committees will begin in the spring, and we hope that by this summer we'll be able to get some votes on the floor of the House and the Senate.
Let me get to one more question here. Alice, you have a question for my guest, Daniel Lashoff.
Yes, I want to know if urban sprawl would help cut down on pollution,
Thanks for your question. Urban sprawl.
Yeah, reducing urban sprawl definitely would help, because with the more our cities are spread out, the more difficult it is for people to get around. They have to drive further. It's harder to serve sprawled communities with transit and public transportation, much harder to provide. So smart growth development can make a big difference to our solution.
Now, a lot of the opportunities for you all to have an impact will come from the access or the relationships that you have with the different governmental entities, the EPA, et cetera. Given the fact that this administration has given them walking papers to the extent that they're destroying records, how do you see that relationship, your relationship with them changing?
Well, you know, there's a lot of dedicated professional staff at EPA who would like to be helpful in this process, and I hope that with the new Congress looking over the administration's shoulder, those professionals will be freed up to get their job done. So I hope that we'll have a better relationship going forward.
Daniel Lashoff, Science Director for the National Resource Defense Council Climate Center. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
Story by Danny Hicks.
In 1990, I was 18 years old. A couple of men that I've known called me, wanted to go drive around Lake Springfield, sat at a picnic table, finished the beer, piled back in, and started driving around the lake. He come flying around the corner. As he lost control, thrown up into the air and smashed into a group of trees. The man in the back seat was killed instantly. You make a mistake. You climb into a car one time after you've been drinking, and your whole life as you knew it normal, gone.
A message from the Illinois Department of Transportation, Division of Traffic Safety.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one. We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy, she say. Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you want to spend?
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Liz?
Yes?
That was a...
Please turn your please turn your radio down, Clark.
That was a wonderful radio with Daniel here. I myself am known in an environmental scientist by the name of Virginia Brodine. And they have come to their senses due to global warming. If the sea shall kill, it would drown us all. And you asked the question on, he brought up the auto industry were not present. Now, then, it is very much possible to revolutionize the transportation system inside of the United States of America. When they built the highways, they had the auto industry in mind, but they failed to implement progressive transportations like the subway system. They run on magnetic tracks in foreign countries. They have to put the effort into the transportation. This is, how many autos do we have? Billions of them. Adding to the environment. Thank you, Liz.
All right. Thank you, Clark. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. In the next hour, I am going to be joined by P.J. Crowley. P.J. Crowley is a senior fellow and director of the National Defense and Homeland Security at the Center for American Progress. He was also the special assistant to Bill Clinton for National Security Affairs, senior director of public affairs for the National Security Council, and deputy assistant secretary of defense for public affairs. He's going to be here to talk to us in anticipation of the speech tonight, the State of the Union. How's it going for you out there? What is the state of your union, and what is the disconnect that your president has between the state of our union and your understanding of the state of our union? What's the disconnect? How big is the disconnect? We have much business to tend to. That's going to be in our next hour when we talk to P.J. Crowley. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. Please don't forget that. On a week from today, on the 30th of January, Desi will be coming to town. And if you don't attend one public meeting at all this year, you have to. If you only attend one, attend this one on Tuesday from 6 to 9 at Harris Stowe in the main auditorium of the administration building. 3026 Laclede is the address. They're coming to town to talk to you about the state, their desire. They're listening to this craziness, this madness. Francis Slay, Danforth, et al. They want to talk to you. And everybody has an opportunity to speak. You need to be there on Tuesday at 6 o'clock at Harris Stowe. And they're taking written comments. And let me just say this one more time, and please pass this on. Everybody that's listening out there, I know you know a teacher somewhere. I know you know someone who knows. There's not even 6 degrees of separation between us and a teacher. Call a teacher that you know in the St. Louis Public School. Call a teacher that you know anywhere and talk about how the state takeover is not a good idea. Have that as an assignment for your kids, whether they are preschool kids or kindergarten kids or grammar school kids or junior high or high school. They all need to be weighing in on this important decision that's going to be impacting their life. How do they feel about the idea of the nullification of their parents' vote and eventually the nullification of theirs? If we nullify your vote on this, the school board issue, as adults, what's going to be left for our children? They're going to continue to nullify their votes, and pretty soon everything will be an appointment. An appointment. This is a perfect teaching moment. This is a perfect teaching opportunity. The people from DESE should have to hire a tractor trailer to haul away all of your letters and comments that you have in opposition to this state takeover. So pass it on to a teacher. Tell them to get their kids involved. Tell a teacher, every teacher that you know, if you are a retired teacher. And if you don't want to get up there and speak or don't want to stand in the line to speak, have something written and give it to them. They should feel like we have had to cut down the national forest for all the paper that's going to be used to write the opposition statements to this madness of a state takeover. Be there on Tuesday. There will be a public forum on Tuesday at Harris Stowe in the auditorium from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. What's the address? 3026 Laclede. DESE is coming to town. They want to hear from you. Pack the joint. If you only attend one meeting this year, if you can only figure out time in your schedule to attend one meeting a year, make it this one. It's that important. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me, 1-877-920-WGNU. My goodness gracious. We have so much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up, get to me. And if you want to email me, feel free at revolution@lizbrown.com. Barbara.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I am outstanding. How are you, Barbara?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
All right now.
Yeah, I was wondering, wouldn't the chronology of what's been going on here in the St. Louis system be your archived programs at whitegrove.org?
Oh, you know what? That is a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous suggestion.
From the beginning to
From
the end,
From the beginning to the end, it is all there.
And that should take a truckload.
That should. You know what? You know what? You know what? I love that idea. That's what we will do. We will pull 3 years' worth of Wednesday shows.
Public speaking.
That's
right.
Absolutely.
There
absolutely.
You go.
Absolutely. You are Barbara, brilliant idea.
Thanks.
Done and done. Thank
All
you
right.
for that.
Bye-bye.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Huh. Huh, 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 huh. Yes, indeed. That is a great idea. Everybody, y'all need to be here. Be there on Tuesday at 6 p.m. at the public hearing. At the public hearing. DESE's public hearing on the schools, on the state takeover, the madness of a state takeover. Bob.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Your guest was interesting, and you had a gentleman that was on the right road to starting to say what we're doing. But, you know, about 20 years ago, it was determined by the powers that be that make the money that we should take the freight off the railroads and put it on the highways.
Mm-hmm.
And we put it on the highways, and we had plenty of drivers then with their CB radios and the good old boys, and they're still there, driving it everywhere. And those trucks are using 500 gallons of fuel every day, no matter which way they're going, seemingly, and there's thousands and thousands of them out there. And what we did, one train with three men can pull 100 cars or more. But these trucks, each one of them has to have one, sometimes two persons in them, and they can only carry half of what one boxcar can carry.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
not
then
even
the airlines also, when we got rid of the passenger trains, everybody's flying. And if you see in those trails behind those planes up there, nothing but frozen pollution. And that's not going anywhere. It's staying up there, and it's going to keep going. So we've got to come up with a high-speed train system for passengers to go on, then we've got to get back to running some kind of a rail system to get these trucks off the same highways with automobiles.
Thank you.
And thank you, Liz.
Thank you so much, Bob. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the below made.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The anthem, the progress.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sure.
trouble. More and more people who need help from you to find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. And the Oscar goes to, well, it could be this movie. Here's ABC's Dave Alpert.
Dreamgirls received the leading 8 nominations, but not the big one. Eddie Murphy and Jennifer Hudson got acting nods, and Dreamgirls owns the best song category with 3 nominations. Babel, The Departed, Letters from Iwo Jima, Little Miss Sunshine, and The Queen compete for Best Picture. Best Actor nominees, Leonardo DiCaprio for Blood Diamond, Ryan Gosling, Peter O'Toole, Will Smith, and Forrest Whitaker. Best Actress, Penelope Cruz, Judi Dench, Helen Mirren, Meryl Streep, and Kate Winslet. We'll find out who the winners are when the Academy Awards are handed out February 25th. Dave Alpert, ABC News, Beverly Hills.
Expect to hear a lot about domestic issues from President Bush when he gives his State of the Union address tomorrow night. Press Secretary Tony Snow says he'll focus on education, energy, and health care, as well as on Iraq, and he will ask the Democrats, who now control Congress, to work with him.
The president is going to address those and also answer another question Americans have, which is, can these people in Washington work together? Can members of Congress work with the president? Or is there simply going to be partisan exchanges for the next 2 years?
First tonight, the president's arrival will be announced to Madam Speaker Nancy Pelosi. A close call for ABC's Chris Cuomo while he was riding with the 410 police company in Baghdad. The convoy came under fire. Some of the vehicles were damaged, but neither Cuomo, his crew, nor any of the troops were hurt. The trial of a former White House aide accused of blowing a CIA agent's cover is underway. ABC's Pam Coulter at Federal Court in Washington.
The prosecution must lay out why it thinks Lewis Scooter Libby lied to the FBI and a grand jury about how he learned about the CIA wife of an administration critic. And the defense explain how a busy Libby could simply forget the details. Libby is charged with 5 felonies.
ABC's Pam Coulter, ABC News.
Have you heard the one about the guy who's looking for a good used car and actually finds one? No, really. That's because he got a Honda certified used car. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Sam's Club has everything you need for your next football party. From Tostitos to Little Smokies to furniture taken straight from John Elway's house.
You mean my furniture line?
Yes, they'll be lining up at Sam's Club for party items like Pace Chunky Salsa and John Elway's couch.
Not my sofa, my casual living collection.
Well, I can't cancel the movers now.
Yeah? How about I cancel your face?
Sam's Club, when only the greatest party of all time will do. 10% service fee applies to non-member purchases. Elway furniture available at samsclub.com.
Starting today, you'll need a passport if you travel to any foreign country, including Canada and Mexico. Most airport scenes in movies and on TV are shot at one of the LA airports, and the city is making big bucks off it.
From the now-canceled NBC show called LAX to blockbuster films like The Terminal.
Did you say Gate 67?
Gate 67.
Los Angeles airports have been welcoming film crews with open arms. A new study says L.A. area airports, primarily Los Angeles International, brought in close to $600 million in revenue between 2002 and 2005 off film contracts.
Gate 67.
LAX is one of the few airports to even staff an entire office dedicated to scheduling film crews. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A Dutch pet store owner has invented a beer for dogs. It's non-alcoholic. It's headed to a pet store near you. And if you were so inclined for one reason or another, you could drink it too. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, St. Louis police are investigating 2 fatal shootings on Sunday night. 38-year-old Reuben Green was shot in the head on the 1500 block of East 14th Street. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Witnesses told police they heard shots and saw several men and women walking away from Green. Later that night, 23-year-old Andre Clemens was shot four times on the 1200 block of Gimblin Street. He was taken to Barnes Jewish Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Witnesses at the scene of the second shooting told police they heard gunshots and saw a truck leave the scene. An East St. Louis man is in police custody after being accused of a string of break-ins. Police believe 21-year-old Joey Farmer snuck into several houses during the early morning hours, often while residents were in the house. Police believe Farmer may have been involved in several burglaries in East St. Louis last fall as well. He is being held in the St. Clair County Jail on $100,000 bond. Finally this hour, a low-cost airline is taking off at Lambert Airport. AirTran Airways, based in Orlando, Florida, plans to announce today that it is entering the St. Louis market in May. AirTran's presence is strongest along the Atlantic, and its presence could lower the cost of flying to the East Coast for Midwesterners. Lambert officials have been pursuing a deal with AirTran for the past several years. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather for this hour. 44 eastbound from Hampton through Jefferson. Look for an accident that's been cleared, but it's still stop-and-go traffic at Jefferson. That's where the accident was. Southbound 170 at Page and Olive. Roadway construction has reduced the road to two lanes, so expect delays there. Westbound 64 from Ball Avenue to the 5570 split. Look for delays. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant. Look for slowdowns there. Northbound 270 from Teslan Ferry through Big Bend is on the move. Eastbound 40 from Spady through Hanley and then again from Highway 141 through Mason. You can expect delays there as well. Eastbound 44 from Meraz Overpass to the 270 junction. Look for delays on the northbound 270 route. And westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge is returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is looking good, and eastbound 70 from Cave Springs all the way into the 270 merge. Look for no slowdowns to report at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly cloudy skies, high in the lower 40s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s as well. Currently, we have 29 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 30. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight, I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Trouble more and more people who need help but can't find it. struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the fourth hour of the wake-up call for this Tuesday. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to. Yes, we do. Tonight, we will, I don't know, have privy to the second to the last State of the Union address from George Bush. And I think it's going to be, they are saying that this will be, this is the most challenging speech that he has given to date. And challenging on many different levels and for many different reasons. George Bush has to acknowledge a Democratic majority, the first time in, 10 years? George Bush has to acknowledge the first woman Speaker of the House, who was also a Democrat. George Bush has to acknowledge a 33% public approval rating, the lowest of his term. George Bush has to acknowledge, I don't want to say rats fleeing the ship, but he doesn't have as many friends as he did last time he gave a State of the Union address. George Bush also has to acknowledge a public that is absolutely convinced that this war in Iraq is a massive mistake and we shouldn't be there anymore. An American public that has finally gotten to the conclusion that the war on terrorism does not begin and end with the war in Iraq. An American public that is beginning to question the money, that's M-O-N-E-Y, being spent on this war when we look at the things that are not being tended to here in the United States. George Bush has to contend with a media that is somewhat emboldened by, Katie Couric aside, a major media, the non-alternative media is somewhat emboldened by the Democratic majority and the Republicans standing on the side of anti-Iraq, a media that is asking some questions that they have been fearful of asking in the past. George Bush has to contend with that. The blush is off the rose. So it should come as no surprise that there were many practice sessions yesterday with the State of the Union. And I wonder, given all of these other considerations, how willing George W. Bush is going to be to talk about the I word, Iraq. This may be the one time that we won't be inundated with access of evil conversation, and probably the most important time for us to have a discussion about what the heck are we going to do there. Interesting irony, is it not? Well, we're going to have a conversation when we come back with the senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, P.J. Crawley. We're going to talk about Iraq, even though George Bush may not want to. And perhaps we will get some suggestions from Mr. Crawley about what the president should be saying about Iraq. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop in my faith. We'll see me through.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my guest this hour is P.J. Crawley. He is a senior fellow and director of the National Defense and Homeland Security at the Center for American Progress. He was also, during the Clinton administration, a special assistant to the president for national security affairs and a senior director of public affairs for the National Security Council. P.J. Crawley, good morning, and welcome to the show.
A pleasure. Good morning.
We have a State of the Union address tonight, and
Not a happy one.
Might even be a little cranky. We will see. But and some folks are saying, PJ, that George Bush may not want to linger as much on the issue of Iraq, instead preferring to delve into health care and perhaps a little border stuff as well. We should be talking about Iraq tonight, shouldn't we?
Oh, I would be astonished if he glosses over Iraq. It is, as we know from November, the commanding issue in the country, and as he seeks to escalate the troop levels in Iraq, it's going to only become increasingly important. So I expect him actually to spend a very significant amount of time in his speech tonight on Iraq.
Well, what should he be saying tonight? If you were writing the speech...
He should be saying, sorry, my bad.
Talk to you later. Okay. So tell us some other stuff he should be saying. Sorry, my bad, and what else? How are we going to get out of this?
Well, I think you put your finger on it a minute ago. I mean, what is missing from the current debate and what's missing from the president's presentation is any sense of the opportunity cost. You know, when he signaled his willingness to add troops to Iraq, what he didn't say, I mean, he said, for example, in recent days, look, we have to add troops in order to protect the nascent, democratic government in a troubled land. He may be right, but he's talking about Afghanistan, not Iraq. I mean, the problem, among the other problems, is that in the shift to Iraq back in 2003, we have since then you know, starved our operation in Afghanistan. Oh, by the way, that's where bin Laden is.
Who is that?
Where you really do have a risk of a Islamist-like government taking over a country. They did it before 2001, and it was very costly to us, obviously. Your point is exactly right. You know, we got ourselves into Iraq, but the so-called war on terror, we should probably figure out a better term than that, does not begin and end in Iraq. He's wrong when he says that Iraq is the kind of ground where if we turn our backs on it, it will yield a Sunni-dominated Islamist government that could be a safe haven for al-Qaeda. He's totally misreading what Iraq represents. You know, if there's going to be another government besides the Maliki government, it's going to be Shia-dominated or Iranian-dominated. That in itself poses a set of security challenges, but is really unrelated to what attacked us on September 11th.
And the other piece of this is the American public. How do you respond to the person that's in the office of the presidency saying, I'm not going to let public opinion dictate what I do?
We are emerging. One of the reasons why the 2008 presidential election has already started in earnest is because we are in a very unique circumstance we haven't seen since the 30s. Where you do not have an incumbent president or vice president running for election. And so on the one hand, the Bush administration is not, does not necessarily have to bow to public opinion. However, those in Congress, Democrats and Republicans who have, responsibilities, even distinguished, and sober statesmen like John Warner of Virginia yesterday saying, Mr. President, don't do this. I mean, people should not underestimate what that represents.
How should we as Americans feel when the guy in the White House says,
is not paying attention to him?
Or saying, I don't care what you think. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Well, I mean, that's why presidential elections are important. I mean, it really does come down to it. You know, changing the Congress was important. It has set a new tone here in Washington. And I think there is going to be increasingly bipartisan opposition to what the president's doing. And over time, that will have an impact. But, you know, for people who say, well, you know, can I really influence the direction of the country? Well, every 2 or 4 years, these things do have great meaning, and people should carry this kind of anger into their choices they make 2 years from now.
So with respect to Iraq, what should George Bush be saying about getting us out of there?
Well, he should be de-escalating the situation in Iraq, not escalating it. That's number one. We have to borrow from the Colin Powell terminology. We did break Iraq back in 2003. We have a moral obligation to the people of Iraq, and we will not be, regardless of what happens, turning our backs on Iraq. As the Iraq study group, the Baker Hamilton report outlined, at the end of the day, this is going to cost between $1 trillion with a T, and $2 trillion. We do have remaining obligations. We have to find a way to help the Iraqis stem the sectarian violence. We have to find a way to help them develop institutions to govern themselves and secure themselves. We have to find a way to help them reconstruct, their country so they can be a stable, part of the Middle East, important to us. But it is unclear at this point what the United States military can do to help those goals. In fact, you can easily make a case that the presence of the military, seen by the Iraqis and others in the region as occupiers, not as liberators,
to
the extent that we should be getting more troops out of Iraq so that there can be a different dynamic than the one we see on television every night. That's what the president should be doing tonight, but he won't.
And the overwhelming majority of Iraqi people want us out. They believe that our presence does exacerbate the problem.
Absolutely. And I think, unfortunately, for those who are a little bit older like I am, what you're going to hear tonight from George Bush is reminiscent of what we heard from Richard Nixon in the late 60s or even LBJ earlier than that. These are guys that just don't want to admit that mistakes have been made, and they don't want to admit that a military campaign has been lost.
And that's
one of the reasons why George Bush is moving in a direction that is contrary to what the American people want.
And you speak of the moral obligation that we have to Iraq. Is this administration, are we the best people to deliver on that moral obligation?
Well, yeah, a very good point. You know, we certainly can't do it alone. I mean, the future in the Middle East has to belong to those who live there. We can try to help them, and we should, because you know we have a lot of interest there, not the least of which is our energy security is tied to that region. But I think what is missing here is the fact that the Bush administration equates Iraq with the war on terror, and that is just strategically wrong. I mean, there are things that we have to do to stem the residual threat of terrorism to the United States. But today, if I had to pick a linchpin country, it is not Iraq. Even today, it's not Iraq. Today, it's a country like Pakistan.
It's never been Iraq, has it?
It has never been Iraq. That's right. You know, so do we continue to have a threat from terrorism that we tragically saw on 9/11? We do. Is a portion, a sliver of that threat a resident in Iraq? It is because we're there.
And it wasn't there before we got there.
The primary threat that still we face today, it's not as big as it has been described. It's not an existential threat as the Soviet Union was. But what people need to pay more attention to, and we as a country need to pay more attention to, is what's happening in Afghanistan and along the Afghan-Pakistan border. That is really still where the genuine war on terror, if you will, that's where it exists. And unfortunately, that's where we should be adding troops tonight, not to Iraq.
And how do we extricate ourselves from this war on terror mindset? Because as you mentioned a little bit earlier, that there should be a different phrase for this, because that's really not what this is about. That is not what our policy should be about.
Well, it should not be the predominant element of our policy. I mean, there are still hardline people around the world. It would be nice to think that we could convince them to do something differently in a case like bin Laden. We just have to continue to look for him, find him, and ultimately either kill him or bring him before a court. So the military will have a role, but at this point in time, it should not be the predominant role that it is today. We need to depend on other elements of our power and influence. We need to rebuild our influence. There was a results of a poll released globally yesterday that showed that the United States is viewed as a hypocritical country, you know, by many people in the world, and that just means that our moral standing, our ability to be a beacon for the world, has been diminished, and it causes us great damage. What the rest of the world views, how they view both Americans and American policy, you know, is directly linked to this terrorism threat and this hatred that we see around the world. And that requires us to relate to the world differently, to get troops out of countries that don't want to be occupied, to find ways to solve problems diplomatically, you know, to invest in failing states, like a Somalia, like a Nigeria, resolve the situation between the Palestinians and the Israelis. These are things that we have to pay more attention to, but we can't do them militarily. We have to find other ways to do it.
And we need to take a break here. I'm talking to P.J. Crawley. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about Iraq. We're talking about George W. Bush's State of the Union address tonight, what should be said, what's probably not going to be said, and more. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
For everyone. anyone who ever marched to the beat of a different drummer, the smash hit returns. Stomp.
Oh, it's totally creative. The imagination, the spirit of the people is just wonderful.
Excellent. First time I've seen it, gets better every time.
The second time I've seen it, it was fantastic.
Stomp is the best I've ever seen in my entire life.
In New York, they called it a surefire crowd pleaser with a rock and roll heart. In London, they called it pure fun.
It was great. This is the second time that I've been to the show, and I had to bring my friends because it was so much fun.
I was dancing in the eyes. I don't know how anybody could sit there with so much rhythm going.
Stomp is totally a gift to this planet. It changed my whole aura. I'm not sane.
It's pure entertainment with more bang for the buck than any show in memory. See what all the noise is about. Stomp.
Coming to the Fox Theater, February 16th to the 18th. Tickets on sale now at MetroTix or online at MetroTix.com. Presented by Dan St. Louis.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this. If you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th. Tuesday from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 Laclede. Be there.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is P.J. Crawley, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about, we're anticipating the conversation that George W. Bush is going to have with us today in his State of the Union, his second to the last State of the Union address to the United States public. And P.J., one of the things, let me ask you this, do you think that he will mention in his speech tonight that he's backed up off of spying on us?
He's done what?
That he's backed up off of spying on us, that he's changed, done a little bit of reversal on the spying practice that he was doing?
I don't know. I don't know. The State of the Union order, has usually some sort of international aspect to it, and then, it's right that he should also talk about some of his, domestic policy objectives.
The reason that I was asking about the spying piece is because there were some recommendations made by the 9/11 Commission that you commented on to talk about how to make some of our privacy issues more secure, and to deal with some of the real issues that we have, the challenges that we have post 9/11, as opposed to the practice that this administration engaged in getting at that.
Well, I'm sure he'll mention it, but I don't think he'll mention it significantly. They have manipulated these issues primarily to stay out of the Supreme Court. They say that they are going to now operate under existing law and utilize what's called the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence court that is supposed to oversee when intelligence activities potentially infringe upon the civil liberties of American citizens. We don't know at the end of this, and which is obviously part of the problem. His answer will have to be, just trust me. And of course, as you said earlier, increasingly American people are not willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
And and how has that worked out for us in trusting him?
Yeah, I think the one thing that people numbers have meaning. I think earlier this week the Pentagon put out its new assessment of what Iraq is costing us as a country, not only in terms of obviously the treasure of the men and women who are willing to serve in the military, and God bless them for doing that, but Iraq now costs $8.4 billion a month, and that number is going to go up as we increase troops there. And that number actually has ultimately meaning, because when you look at the challenge that we face as a country, all of the things that we have to do as a country, whether it's figuring out how to be less dependent on Middle East oil, whether it's figuring out how to extend, health care to all Americans, whether it's preserving the social safety net so that when people who are working today retire, there will be still something called Social Security. All of these things cost money, and the president somehow pretends that the deficit doesn't matter. He pretends that we can somehow grow ourselves out of all of these problems without having to make tough decisions and to manage who wins and who loses when policies inevitably change. That's another thing we won't hear about tonight, is not only why Iraq is important, but also the fact that we are spending, we'll spend somewhere around $150 to $200 billion in Iraq this year. $150 to $200 billion in Iraq this year. It means that's money that's not available to, secure chemical facilities here at home or ports here at home. It's not money that can be used for health care. It's not money that can be used for education.
To fix the aftermath of Katrina.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I think that what the American people need to do and what our Congress needs to do is to force the president to acknowledge that there are other priorities that we have as a country, and that as we continue to pay attention to terrorism, there are lots of other things that we need to do that have an influence on how strong we are and how prepared we are and how competitive we'll be as a nation in the coming years, in the coming decade.
As you talk about what won't be mentioned about the cost of this war,
I doubt he'll mention that.
I doubt he will, too. And then the other piece of it is that what is the cost of this surge that he wants to involve us in? I mean, that's an extraordinary cost in and of itself.
Well, one of the things I fear is that the among the costs is it just continues to deepen the divide between the American people and the military as an institution. I served in the military for 26 years. It's vitally important that we have our best and brightest that consider, when they consider career options, they look at the military just as they look at other options, and probably one of the things that we need to do as a country is to figure out how to build a better tradition of national service, that before we go off and try to make all kinds of money doing this or that, there's some way in which we pay something back to the country or pay something back to the communities that we grew up in. The president probably won't mention that either. Mm-hmm. That there's any sense of sacrifice has to be made, in doing this. But I really worry that the war, as it did in the 70s, is going to create a divide, and that the military, even as it has to continue to find ways to operate in various parts of the world in the future, will not have the best and brightest who are willing to serve, and the war will be one of those dividing factors that means that we'll be paying for this in terms of a lower propensity of young people to serve in the military, and as a result our military will suffer for the next 10 years repairing itself from this damaging experience in Iraq, just as we did have. We took us 10 or 15 years to repair the military from Vietnam.
But it's a little different. I think the hole that has been dug with respect to how our military is viewed, what our military consists of, is different and worse than it was in the 70s, given the fact that in the 70s they drafted people, and often they did draft the best and the brightest. They were poor, but they were the best and the brightest. here we have a military that has lowered its standards to extraordinary places. And are we getting the best and the brightest? And what is the PR campaign after that? Who wants to join the military knowing that that's where you go if you can't graduate from high school?
Yeah,
or
I mean,
if you're 42 years old.
My experience is the opposite, that actually when we did have a conscript military, you know, while yes, there were some in various parts of society that were able to find deferments, we actually did have in the 60s and 70s a military that broadly speaking represented the full range of all strata of our society. Now you've got a situation where those who have various options when they think about careers choose to do something other than join the military. And that does mean that while we have a volunteer force, it's a very capable force, it may or may not today adequately reflect the population as a whole. And that has consequences, because among areas, I mean, you learn things when you're in the military. There are valuable skills and life lessons. It's one of the reasons why we do call our fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers the greatest generation, because many of them, did serve in wars, whether World War II, Korea, and they translated that experience to help the United States be the country that it is.
And it's a great life. My father is retired colonel, U.S. Army, Airborne Special Forces, and it was a great life as a child.
Absolutely, and now you think about our leaders. So few of them who are sitting in Congress today, either themselves served or have a son or daughter in the military today. We'll hear from one of them tonight, James Webb, who's now the senator from Virginia, and his son is currently in Iraq.
But that is the extraordinary exception.
It is exactly the extraordinary side. And it's not to say that you cannot be an effective leader if you don't have that experience, but obviously, in 2003, we had a Congress that largely gave George Bush a blank check because they just didn't understand how difficult this would be. They have this kind of romantic view that we can fight a war that has little or no cost or impact.
And they had no skin in the game.
Absolutely right. And so, one of my great lessons is, hey, if you've got veterans who are running for public office, vote for them. Because we just need to instill in our leadership those who have that kind of real-life experience and can translate that into the difficult decisions that we as a country make before we go to wars like we did in Iraq.
And perhaps there would have been a greater discussion and a greater change if there had been more members of Congress that had children or relatives or friends involved in this madness in Iraq, when it turned out that they don't have flap jackets and
sure,
they don't have equipment.
When somebody would be testifying before Congress and said this is going to be a cakewalk.
Exactly.
And who's ever been involved in a war that could say that was the case? Or you had the Deputy Secretary of Defense that said, we can fight a war and it will pay for itself in relatively short order.
Or we will be greeted.
Those were unbelievable miscalculations, and yet related to this administration, many of which had better things to do than serve in the military themselves, they made those miscalculations, and then Congress didn't say, wait a second, let's challenge that assumption here.
And we will be greeted as liberators.
That's exactly right.
But then they repeated the same thing in Somalia, that when they got there in Somalia, that people would be throwing roses at their feet as well. And that's not what happened there.
And that actually is a bit of a flaw that we have as Americans. The virtue of our society is we don't sense that limitation. We don't have a lot of the historical baggage comes into play. But then again, we don't necessarily understand the world that we live in adequately, and so we end up trying to honestly help societies, but they're societies that we don't understand.
And going into
Iraq, we didn't understand the historical differences between Shia and Sunnis and why this was not going to be an easy thing to do. And so, in the future, not only do we have to make better decisions, but we we have to get reanimated in terms of understanding the world that we live in and understand that there are some things that we can influence and some things that we can't.
And there also needs to be a desire to do that, a desire to understand.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a break. P.J. Crowley, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress, is my guest. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care. Still connected to the community.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen has a new time, Tuesdays from 10 until noon, right here on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Your hearts can go their way. Can't put it off another day. I don't care what others say. They say we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is P.J. Crowley. He's a senior fellow and director of the National Defense and Homeland Security at the Center for American Progress. He was a special assistant to Bill Clinton for the National Security Affairs, senior director of public affairs for the National Security Council, and he was the principal deputy assistant secretary of defense for public affairs. P.J., welcome back.
Yikes.
All of that. when we look at this speech tonight, and we evaluate its significance in terms of this president and this administration, how would you rate it in importance?
Well, I know you mentioned at the opening that this was arguably his most significant speech. I think his speech to Congress in 2001, right after 9/11, will always be the most significant speech of his career. And ever so briefly, he was in fact a uniter in our country. Didn't last long, unfortunately. I think tonight the speech is very important because it is for George Bush, because he is pushing against a very strong headwind, not only within the Congress but within the American people, that think that Iraq is a mistake and think that his decision to add troops, not subtract troops, is fundamentally wrong. So I think this speech tonight is about how much relevance George Bush will have, you know, over the last 2 years of his administration. I mean, and it is something that presidents always fight. When we were in the White House, President Clinton's message was, we're going to sprint to the finish line. I think George Bush, his speech tonight will be whether he will stagger the finish line. But if he's going to be relevant and he's going to try to help get things done with the new leadership in Congress, he's going to have to give something. Maybe immigration reform is going to be one of those areas where he will find common cause with Democrats more so than conservatives in his own party. But his preliminary message, what he's been signaling on health care, is not going to, it's irrelevant, it's misguided, it's not going to go anywhere, just as last year his comments on Social Security reform were irrelevant and weren't going to go anywhere.
Well, and the health care piece, it pleases no one, and it solves nothing.
Well, yeah, but it just continues to show how he identifies issues with major corporations, not with the average American. By comparing, the investment in health care to an investment in a home, it's fine if you've got the resources to buy a home. But if you don't, it's hard to see how his vision is going to be able to help extend health care coverage to those who don't have it. In fact, tonight he's likely to say something crazy like, too many people have too much health care.
I think that's what he's going to say.
Yeah.
I really think that's what he's going to say. And then my solution is a tax for those
right.
people.
I thought the idea was that for those who are grateful to have solid health care, we've got to figure out ways of extending that kind of quality coverage to more and more Americans. You know, not to try to take something away from people.
You know what? I'm going to bet a nickel that is what he said.
I think you're exactly right. At the end of this, people are going to be scratching their head going, what? I think he has a very narrow opportunity to signal that there are some things that he is still able to do, and he's going to come off of his ideologically driven approach and perhaps assume some more level of pragmatism, but I'm highly skeptical. I think he's just determined. He's a stubborn guy. He's going to do it his way, and in doing so, I think you're going to find that he will be increasingly irrelevant as we go through these final 2 years. Unfortunately, that means that the administration's not going to be a positive force in getting things done.
But
before we have another election.
But we're also seeing some Republicans, because after all, we have an election, a presidential election coming up. We have some more congressional elections coming up. We have senatorial elections coming up. What does this do for the Republican Party? I mean, in terms of getting things done, a lot of the Republicans are going to be distancing themselves from this president. So.
Oh, absolutely right.
So can we get things done?
I think Republicans saw the damage that he could cause them in 2006, and if Iraq is going to be the predominant issue of the country the next 2 years, and by every indication because the president's adding troops to Iraq, it's going to be the dominant issue in 2008, you are going to have more and more Republicans jumping ship, and on the one hand, that's good politics, but on the other hand, we work best as a country and as a government when you have the executive branch working cooperatively with the legislative branch. And when only one branch is working effectively, you can get things done, but it's not going to be as effective as it would otherwise be.
But there certainly will be a lot to watch, won't there?
There will be a lot to watch, and I think it's just going to be, we'll be sitting there blinking at the TV going, he still really actually thinks that.
He still doesn't get it.
I think we should, as we get into the 2008, we should do psychological profiles of these people, and are these people really able to listen to the American people, understand what the significance of elections, and then translate those electoral results into realistic policies. I hope the next president will be able to do that. This president, I think, is increasingly unable to do that.
P.J. Crowley, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It is always a pleasure.
Take care.
Okay, Liz.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We have much, much, much business to tend to. Please don't forget that a week from today, A very important public meeting is taking place. A public meeting, DESE is coming to town. DESE is coming to town. That's the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. They want to hear from you all about how you feel about this ridiculous question of the state taking over our school district or putting it in the hands of Francis Slay, who destroyed our district. They're coming into town to hear from you from 6 to 9 p.m. at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium located at 3026 Laclede. Everybody will be able to speak, and if you don't want to speak, please bring some written commentary and give to them. They should have a tractor trailer full of letters and notes and comments from you about what is your position on this insane idea of taking over our school district. Be there. Bring people with you. Teachers, have your students write letters to DESE about this. The meeting will be a week from today. That's January 30th from 6 to 9. If you don't attend any public meeting this year, attend this one at Harris Stowe University in the main auditorium. The address is 3026 Laclede. Be there. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz, I've just got a comment that we, the people who have put Mr. Bush in, have this hope that for the next 2 years, of course, he'll veto any liberal bills that come across his desk because he is a lame duck and he can do these things, and there's no way for them to override his veto, and we're thankful for that. We the people.
I understand that. I mean, you know, why would you put into place some liberal policy like, what's that guy's name? Jesus Christ said, feed the poor. Why would we put in any policies that help feed the poor? That's too liberal. Why would we put any policies that, what that guy named Jesus Christ said about, clothe the poor, shelter the homeless, take care of our children, all of those liberal policies? Let us be insane, blind, loyalist to a party, as opposed to wide-eyed, compassionate people about the other people that live here. If it says the word liberal, let us automatically say no. Because that's what thinking people do, right? Thinking people don't read legislation. They just look at the first word in it and say yes or no. Thinking people study things to figure out if they work or not, irrespective of the title that is given to them. And thinking people also know that George Bush was put into office. He was put into office. And that is the problem that thinking people have with this administration. Thinking people are saying we shouldn't be in this war. George Bush says, I don't care what thinking people say. It's my way or the highway. Thinking people, know better than that. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. We're coming to the end of another show. I want to take this time, as always, to thank you for listening and to tell you once again, until tomorrow, stay strong.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
the progress in healing the wound that's below that the low man.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air fills the brother. Top resistance.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters.